For all the flack that Microsoft caught for sidelining gaming for additional entertainment options while launching the Xbox One, it's ironic given that Sony is an entertainment empire that publishes in every notable medium. Pair that with the recent drama over their desire for only blockbuster gaming titles, and now a rumored PlayStation Plus video pass, and what were we complaining about before? This is the association my brain has drawn. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to delve more into the rumors and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live once again on this Sunday evening, April the 25th of 2021, episode number 866 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
And for our Twitch viewers tonight, not the podcast folks, because that part gets kind of like cropped out of the podcast, but we had a new, like, we have like a little bump that plays because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And there's a few minutes that it takes to transition from Bobby doing his show in Atlanta over to us in Sacramento. So we have a little, like, if you've ever watched a Twitch stream, like a stream starting now equivalent or stream starting soon type equivalent, the lot of your favorite streamers do. And we had a new one of those tonight. We've had one for a while that used like free music that I found on some website and a bunch of collage pictures of Mr. Smush, but we've upgraded a little bit. I always thought, I did always think it was a little unfair that it was just Mr. Smush. Like, I know Smush is a lovely cat, but we're all cat owners here at OLR. And we even... We appreciate a good doggo too. I just want to make sure the dog people don't get pissed. We appreciate a good doggo too. I love a corgi. I have a special place in my heart for that.
There is a dog in the last picture that we didn't show because Midna was kissing her.
I see. Okay, so there's that. But we have more OLR cat representation, and that was all done by Dark Sakura, including the new music was you.
Yes.
When's the album drop, sis?
It doesn't. And that music, to explain, people were saying that they did hear it in some of my streams. And because
there was,
I
there's, there's a little misunderstanding. There was a little misunderstanding.
But the thing is that I'm really glad to offer it up to the channel instead. I've made some new music for myself, and I was going to do my plan for today was actually to work on my channel trailer because I'm streaming, you know, I'm trying to get at least once a weekend. And I made this like in a world, you know, type of serious music. I'm like, you get to watch this person suck at Dead by Daylight. And I was getting everything ready to do that. I'm like, no, I hate it. And then Rob was like, we were talking about the pre-intro, I guess, for the show. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'll do it.
Yeah. But that still cracks me up how that happened is that you sent me that intro, that song, and it intended to use it for your channel, but somehow I didn't get that message. So it was very much here, Rob, I made this. And I went, you made this? I made this. Vogue made this. And so there it is. Now it's on Vogue. But I appreciate you giving us the song. You made a new one for your channel, and it's just as good. So it worked out, I guess.
Well,
you just had
my intro one is actually a looped version of my first completed song that I did. And I would like to do like just more music like that. I mean, really right now I'm not the best like keyboardist, even though for people who are in Twitch right now, I do have myself a nice MIDI keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm still working on stuff. I actually paid for my first Logic plugin, and I got the synthesizer they use for the Sega Genesis.
Before I get to Loki, there's a very well-timed question in chat that I think we need to address. So going to our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, SSJ100Matt says, serious question, could we say drop pet photos in the subscriber chat for it to be added to the photo roll if it's somehow changeable? Jamie, I think we have an answer for that.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, but I would love to have some submissions. In the chat is one thing. You can private message me your pictures instead, because I check chat kind of infrequently.
I'll set up a Twitter thread at OLR, Jamie, yeah. And I can just send you the pictures that people post. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. We'll do a Twitter thread at OLR. And for people that are anti-Twitter, then they can reach out to you directly.
Honestly, Twitter is going to be difficult for me.
No, I can pull it all down from Twitter and send to you big file. Okay. Yeah,
then that works. I just need to know, if you have the picture, in the picture title, put your name and your cat's name. That's what I want the picture to be labeled so that I know whose is whose.
Awesome. So, and what you guys saw tonight was the first version of that anyway, because there was a boo-boo we're not going to highlight, but Jamie has to fix it anyway, so we're going to add more... Add more pictures. Yeah, it's not a big deal, but the plan was to add more stuff anyway. All right. Anyway, enough talk about something the podcast folks don't even see. I'm sorry, but I hope you will check out the archive sometime at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You do have to be a subscriber to see the video feed completely, but there's a lot of clips. People have been clipping parts of the show. There's a lot that you can just kind of look at for free anyway.
I'll make it available somewhere.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, so say hello as well to Techmaster Loki. Sorry, Loki. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Now, what is running behind you? Because I swear I saw your own name in that. What is going on here, Loki?
That is my own name. This is the only historical evidence of the greatest gameplay ever experienced. So this is actually on our Orange Lounge Radio YouTube page.
That's right.
The shorts I did, yeah. So this is
we have an updated. I just want to point out, I think that's the last thing that's gone on the Orange Lounge Radio YouTube page. It hasn't been updated in like 10 years, okay? Like, the Orange Lounge Radio YouTube page is kind of a relic at this point. You want to see how cute we were in our early 30s and late 20s? Go to the OLR YouTube page. It's all there.
But yeah, so it's evidence of the modded Grand Theft Auto games, Grand Theft Auto 4 games we used to play on Xbox 360 with my coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I seriously have not experienced a more fun version of any game except for that. And then they patched it out, of course, and had to play the regular game, which is still fun, but it's not as fun as crazy as just everything that you see in the video. So that's what's running behind. And I'll probably switch it up to the other short I have as well with the Evil Swing set.
How long until Grand Theft Auto 6, Loki? How long do you think we're going to be waiting?
I don't care. I don't even really play 5. You know, I really got out of that. I finished the single player campaign, and then it's all been Grand Theft Auto Online updates, and I just haven't gotten into it. It's such a grind. It's just not really fun. Some of the races, though, and stuff look pretty cool. I used to watch this YouTuber, Ollie43. He used to do a lot of the different races and things that you can do online. So there's some fun there, but I don't know. I'm playing Minecraft, so I haven't really gone back to 5. But when 6 comes out, I'll definitely pick it up.
I'm going to our chat. Dark Tetsuya says, I got 5 for free, so Grand Theft Auto 5 for free on Epic, wondering if I should install it. Well, yeah.
It's a great game. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you haven't played through it, you should. It's just, I don't know. I liked 4 better. I liked, the open world stuff's fine, but, the way they set up the online matches and stuff, I liked it so much better because they kind of put you into a section of the map and you fought it out there. It's not like this big, I don't know, open world thing where you can do races and stuff like that. I just like it more structured, kind of like Call of Duty or something like that. Well, I guess Call of Duty now is big, battle arena stuff. So, but the more traditional, Call of Duty type of stuff where it's a level or an arena. Granted, the whole map is open, but they only put weapons in a small portion of it. And so I really like that kind of setup where it's more structured like that. But now it's just you can have a deathmatch over here or over here. And then, I don't know, it just wasn't as fun. I don't know what to say. It's hard to go back when you have, Uzis that shoot grenades and it's just explosions everywhere. And then there's planes flying down close to the, road and just flying cop cars with nuclear shotguns or suitcase bombs and stuff, all this modded stuff that we put in there. And it was just so amazing.
Bobby Blackwolf also points out that Grand Theft Auto 5 just went back on Game Pass. It was gone for a little bit, but it just came back. That was a recent headline. I do want to point out, though, with Dark Tetsuya's question, even though we're kind of sitting here going, yeah, install it. You know what? There's a very real hesitation and a very real reason to ask that question. And I'm going to give Dark Tetsuya the huge benefit of the doubt there, because I've been in this very similar situation. And it is those fucking bandwidth caps. And if you don't have to deal with those through your cable provider, congratulations. Good for you. You are lucky. You're very lucky, because I'm telling you, those bandwidth caps are a pain in the ass. And a game like Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to be something like, it's got to be like 40, 50, 60 gigs. Like,
it's pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a big game. So you really have to think about that kind of stuff before you just go download it. I think
it is a really good game. Alan, like, it really is. Like, the single player campaign was all right. I liked it. But yeah, it's got a good story. It's fun. The heists are fun. I don't know. There's a lot to do in that game. It's very like packed full of stuff. And if you really have the patience for Grand Theft Auto Online, then that could be fun. But it's such a grind. They make it so grindy with, like, you have to pay rent for your apartment. You have to pay rent to have people fix up your cars when they get destroyed by another player. Like, that stuff that's stupid.
Yeah.
But I understand why they're doing it, because that's where they're making their money. They're trying to sell those shark cards. So they make it an unnecessary grind. And that kind of ruined it for me, because I used to like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4, for example, great game by itself. And then they released the Lost in the Dam expansion, which was also great. And then the Ballad of Gay Tony, which was also great. Like, all of the content for Grand Theft Auto 4 was just amazing. But then they found out they can make lots more money by having a persistent online mode, and so that's where it's going to go, and that's where 6 is probably going to go, unfortunately, even though the campaign is really good. But I'll buy it anyways, because I love those games. So, but it is disappointing, though, that it's not structured the way it was, because I really did like those.
All right. So I'm looking, and there's I usually read all the donators and stuff at the end of the show after we go off air, just live only on Twitch. But I have to acknowledge that there is a hype train going on right now. And I just put in 100 biddies myself to kick it up to the next level, so people
Yay.
Get more emotes. So and there Pixel Pockets just did it too. And many of you are donating bits and subs. And thank you, guys. You really don't have to do that.
EG Realness gave us a whole bunch.
I know. Thank you. Thank you all. And I'll read that all at the end of the show, as I usually do. It's tricky, because we're walking that line between we're recording our podcast, yet we are live on Twitch, and it is very custom for Twitch streamers to thank people right as they donate. But it is hard when you're trying to, you know, do these stories and all these other things and try to keep the flow of your show going, which isn't as pleasant to listen to when you're in your car or on a commuting train. You know, it's like, well, hey, you were talking about this story. Don't get sidetracked. Us at OLR get sidetracked. I guess maybe it's something you've come to expect here at OLR. I don't know.
Who do you think you're listening to?
Oh, my gosh. You guys are so kind. VG Realness donated more and said, don't tell me what to do. You're not my real dad. I did it again. What are you going to do about it? Punish you. All right. Moving on.
Girl.
Before things get really awkward here at OLR, let's move on and talk about our kickoff topic tonight. Loki, you want to tell us a little bit about this? The I heard you like stores.
Yeah, so Epic says, hey, you know what? We have a storefront. Let's make more storefronts. So that's what they're doing. They're adding some different apps into the Epic Games storefront. And some of those, they had 5 non-gaming apps included with it. So they have Brave, which I guess is some open source web browser. KenShape, which is actually really cool. So this is, if you're in game development, you probably know who Kenny is. Kenny is this guy who develops a lot of these free Creative Commons Zero free-to-use assets. And so he has this new thing called KenShape that you can use to generate simple low-poly objects, just kind of drawing a picture and assigning like depth to it. And so it's really cool. So he's they have that on there. Krita, which is a painting and drawing app, and then of course iHeartRadio. You guys are probably aware of that. But then there's also I guess like some itch.io stuff in there as well, so that's kind of interesting. Does that mean I can put Pixel Poops number 2 on there?
That was a question I was going to ask you. Does this mean that now Pixel Poops number 2 is available on the Epic Game Store? I mean, I guess it does, doesn't it?
I guess you can, yeah, you can go within the store and then purchase Pixel Poops number 2 if you wanted to.
Huh.
So technically, yes, we're on the Epic Game Store now, I guess.
All right. That's great. Bobby is saying in chat, it's literally just the itch.io app that you can download. You can download it from their site or from Epic Game Store. Itch.io games are not listed on Epic Game Store, which is how a lot of people are kind of reporting this, is that, oh, it's embedded within, you know, the Epic Game Store. They're taken over itch.io and all this stuff, or I'm sorry, Epic has taken over itch.io. That's not the case. So I think the app based thing is a way to think about it. It's just basically that they're launching their own app store,
yeah,
which when you consider what they've got going on in court and all this stuff right now, you know, again, I'm not going to touch that right now because we got a long way to go in the court proceedings and all that stuff. But to hear that Epic is launching their own app store, itch being one of those apps, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, and it's still pretty cool, though. It's more exposure because there may be some people that are on, you know, they played stuff from Steam or Epic Games that don't even know what itch is. So, you know, more exposure is not a bad thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're right. People may not necessarily go to the itch website or even think about that, but maybe if they see within the Epic Store and their Fortnite launcher that there's this whole other game space, it may be a place that they can get exposed to even more stuff. And there's a lot of great stuff on itch.io, obviously. And I'm sure many of you own a truckload of games on itch.io already, because there were a mm-hmm. lot of people I knew that participated in that Black Lives Matter racial justice and an equity bundle. I'm sorry, I forget the actual name right now, but it was...
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called.
It was what they did when, you know, that was really in the focus, as it should continue to be, let's be real. But you know what I mean. Really, really in the focus in June of last year, they did that bundle, and many people probably picked up, like, there was like 2,000 games in that bundle or something like that, right? And how many did y'all play? You know, so there's a lot. Talk about a backlog, right? So
many backlogs.
Yeah. This is funny. VG Realness in chat is like, whoa, I missed a few weeks. Did Loki release his game? Well, let us get you caught up. Yes, he released his game. If you want to give Loki the most money for the game, you're going to go to itch.io and buy it there, basically. But I have to kind of plug Aaron or YYR's Pixel Poops as well. So I would really also want to point you over to the Steam store where the game Pixel Poops is free to play. And you can check that out. That's our buddy YYR. And then there are two other versions of the game that are basically DLC. You have a cute little Commodore 64 version, which not enough people are talking about. You can buy that for a certain amount of money that I forget in the moment, but it's under $5. And then there's your version of the game, Loki, which is an NES game, and it's, you know, it's a little more, it's like $10, but you are getting like a really full NES cartridge experience, literally.
And there's still, yeah, and I'm still working on the special edition of it, so the special edition has actually 10 more levels. It'll be a free update, so if you do purchase it before then, you'll get a free update soon, because I only have 2 more levels for it. Although I just saw tutorials on how to do animated tiles, so I may have to tweak that. But there's still like some updates I want to do to that, and then yeah, eventually like a physical release. I don't know how I'm gonna do that yet. I have cartridges; I can at least make 12. Which, based on the downloads so far and the purchases, that may be all the interest we have. So we can do it. We can see what we need to come up with there. But yeah, I do want to have pack that cartridge as full as possible. Before I actually start burning those. So that's why I made like at least, it's going to be at least 10 more levels. I want to do more, but we'll see.
VG Realness in chat says it's no longer the running joke of the podcast. What's it going to be now? Well, this is tough because
my album,
maybe I was going to say Loki's a game maker. Dark Soccer is a musician. I
Tacos.
Maybe that's the joke. Yeah, no, I don't even cook. I I like to talk. I'll do a series of motivational speeches or something. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. VG Realness is like crickets. So that's the new joke, my life.
No, no, your life is great.
No, I do have things pretty good. I can't. Yeah. But if you can't make fun of yourself and your friends, how are you going to make fun of
somebody
anyone?
Else?
Yeah. All right. Oh, easy. Thank you. Oh, thank you. So look at that. I was fishing for compliments there. SJ100 Matt, Rob is a great MC of things. That's right. You know what? I look forward for COVID to being over and I can get back into live hosting and doing panels and stuff like that. You're right. I miss that a lot. So soon. Anyway, back to the Epic Games Store adding another store. So Loki, do you think this is going to sell that 13th copy of the game, or no, this isn't going to have, this isn't going to change anything?
That's not going to change anything. It's a nice app though. I haven't had that downloaded yet. So, I get to see all the stuff that I own, mm-hmm. which is a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'll be curious kind of like how that works. If it's still kind of all embedded within the Epic Store kind of front, or if it goes, cause it sounds like, especially the way Bobby's describing
it's
it,
a separate app,
it's like
yeah.
it's just a whole separate thing. So you don't even really have to wait for the Epic Store to have it. You just go download it on itch.io's website and you can check it out there. So there is that. So, all right. Well, at the end of the day, do you think this is a good thing for indies? Or does this feel like, oh, it might be a cash-in or something like that?
I don't think it's a cash-in at all. I think it's good to have that stuff out there. It'd be even better if it was integrated into Epic Game Store, but I can understand why they don't do that.
Yeah. We'll see what ends up developing. I'll be curious to hear if any developers on itch.io notice a little boost from this, but yeah, I doubt at the end of the day it's super kind of likely. Like, either you are looking into these things or you're not, right? So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Gosh, you got to that level 4 hype train in chat. Thank you guys so much. There was a lot of anonymous donations and things like that. Gosh. I'm very, very thankful. Okay. Before we get into our gaming weeks, a little bit of other housekeeping here at the Voice Geeks Network. I do want to give a shout out to our pal Shane or Shad Starzik because he was huge and instrumental in making this bonus stream happen here at the Voice Geeks Network this past week. We did Shane's definitive Pokemon rankings. And he illustrated his bottom 10 Pokemon and his top 50 Pokemon, and he even put together a PowerPoint. And so I'm actually very thankful that he, like, you know, he kind of said that as a joke, and then I was like, oh no, now you got to do it. And he actually did do it. So, he has better things he could be doing, like playing Monster Hunter, I'm sure, but he did take the time out to do that and do the stream, and it was fun. We ruffled a lot of feathers, I'm sure, with the rankings, but it was a lot of fun. So check that out. If you are a subscriber here at twitch.tv, which a lot of you just became tonight with gift subs and things like that, so check that out. You can check that out in the archives right now. That's available. And we are looking to build more stuff out there in the archives so that those of you that are so generous in subscribing, really have more to look forward to. It's an extra special way to say thank you. By the way, yes, I heard about the podcast app getting subscriptions and stuff this week. No comment on that at this time. I we don't know enough details. Right now the focus is on VOG. And I do not see us, let me put it this way. It's been for the past 19 years, our MO has been, this show is free. This 3-hour thing that we do on Sunday nights because it's a way to hang out with friends and all that stuff, that's free. That will not change, period. Anything we do is going to be something extra in addition to that. But I don't know if that is going to be – I'm kind of a little more focused on what we're trying to do at Twitch right now. But I know that question is going to get asked, so I'm just going to clear up that air right now. Let's see. What else I want to say with that? Oh, so Shane did the Pokemon ranking stream. It was a lot of fun, and we're starting to raise the channel points for another stream. Bobby's going to do the next one. He's going to do something a little similar to what he did the first time with the tapes, and he's going to be doing some more E3 footage unearthed from the early 2000s. And this is also neat because Bobby hasn't rewatched these tapes and he's going to go and put them onto Twitch. There may be more embarrassing shit, like when he got Charles Martinet to be like, oh, it's Robert's TV show and all these things. which, if you haven't seen the clip, please see the clip. So we don't know what kind of stuff will show up there. So please look forward to that. I'm almost confident we're going to raise the points. And that'll happen in the coming weeks. And then the ball will be back in our court to do something. But there are ideas there. I actually have ideas right now that I don't even necessarily want to do channel points for. I just want to do it. And Dark Soccer, we've been talking about some stuff like that. And I want to rope Loki in on some ideas, too. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. So anyway, check that out all over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Let's get into our gaming weeks and talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura. I know where this is going to go, but I think this is interesting. So
it's
go
more
for
than
it.
Animal Crossing.
That's true. It is more than Animal Crossing.
So, yes, of course, I did play Animal Crossing, and I'm still playing Wordscapes. But, of course, I'm playing Dead by Daylight. I am not great at it. Apparently, it takes more than 5 rounds of playing the game to, you know, actually be good, although I finally got someone to sacrifice. But I've been enjoying trolling trolls in the game. You know how people like try to do the teabag move and everything? And
oh,
there
yeah.
were these little jerks that were up on it, whatever the name of the Myers level is, where the houses
Haddonfield.
Are. Yeah, Haddonfield. Well, they were up on this like awning of a house. So I just sat there throwing up on them the whole time because I play the Vommy Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And Legion is still number one in my heart. Nurse will be my end game, but right now I'm leveling the Vommy Mommy to get her stuff, yeah. to get a teachable. Anyway, I also did download another game on Apple Arcade that I plan on streaming when I have a little bit more of a mood for it, and that's Fantasian.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that. Sign me up.
Yeah. Because I do have my subscription to Apple Arcade and I am playing on a Mac. For the record, I get a lot of people now asking me about like how I'm playing Dead by Daylight on a Mac. And they're like kind of floored that I am using Stadia and that I'm streaming from Stadia.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you're streaming gameplay from Stadia. The only time I've ever streamed Stadia footage was actually on this show. I think the week it came out or the week I got it when Bobby gave me a code or whatever. I recorded it in advance and then played it back on this show.
I think that my video quality has been pretty good. I've already downloaded a few. I've clipped a few things. You can see it on my channel later
and
on.
Once you fixed your proportions, you couldn't see the URL and that stuff anymore. It looks great.
Yeah. I really had to just tweak a lot of things in there, but I'll be playing some other games, I think, through Stadia as well, depending on when they come out. Like, I don't want to buy Mass Effect through Stadia because I want to eventually get my virtualization cleared up and, you know, have, like, a Parallels desktop or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm considering just trying to do a Mass Effect when it comes out through Parallels, if I can get that. But yeah, Stadia has been a delight. I take back every bad thing I have ever said about it.
Interesting. Huh.
And on top of that, they had a lot of the Dead by Daylight DLC on sale cheaper than how Steam had it for a bit, because they had it for half price.
Be sure to promote that in your streams, too, that you're playing on Stadia. I think you do, but be sure to make sure Stadia is in there, because Stadia does have a small but loyal following, and I bet they would seek out just people that are streaming on Stadia. Orange right in chat says, I did play Stadia on my Twitch before. It's definitely possible. Very interesting.
The one problem I have, and I'm going to send this out as sort of a warning to other streamers on Mac. So one thing about OBS that people don't realize is that you're going to have a second sound input that your system sounds will route through. I use this app called EQ Mac, and that's what I use to capture my game audio. That's why when I was streaming Animal Crossing before, my game audio wasn't being picked up.
This very broadcast is coming to you from a Mac Mini, and we had to do a similar thing here in studio for that. Yeah.
So to answer what Stadia is, it is a streaming game service owned by Amazon.
Google.
Google? Oh, Google. No, Amazon's was something different. Amazon's was
Luna. I think it's Amazon.
Yeah. is through Google, and it's lots of really great games on there. I wish they did have a bigger library, but you can actually, it is like the GeForce Now thing. And I was going to use the GeForce Now. I actually really prefer Stadia. But it's really just, it's been really great. There's a lot of good games on it. It's enough to make me think about subscribing again to Stadia Pro. But back to the other thing, I've also found trouble with Steam Labs OBS capturing my Stadia screen, where standard OBS does it just fine. So just wanted to throw that out there for other folks who might consider playing on Stadia and streaming.
I do also to clarify what Amethyst Rosewitch is saying in our chat with the questions about Stadia and NVIDIA GeForce Now. One thing you do, especially because I noticed Amethyst Rosewitch says, okay, I love GeForce Now. Well, one thing you're going to want to be very aware of is that the pricing structure is very different between the two. That's the other big thing. I mean, in functionality, they're both cloud-based gaming services, but NVIDIA kind of taps into games you already own. Like, it looks at your Steam library and, you know, what's installed on your computer, and you kind of connect it to games that you already own, and then you're paying NVIDIA basically to rent their computer and their super powerful computer and stream from that. But of course, they have that free version, but you might run into a queue. You're limited to an hour, so there's things with that. Or you can pay the $10 to have the whenever you want it and the highest quality and all that stuff. Stadia, you're not paying to rent the computer or whatever. You're not paying to rent Google's computer, but you are having to buy the games uniquely on Stadia's storefront. So when you buy a game, unless it's cross-play or cross-purchase, nope, which very few are.
Unless you have Stadia Pro, then you pay $10 a month and you can get a bunch of games for, quote, free.
Yeah, right. There is that as well. So just, yeah. I want to make sure that the pricing configurations are a little different between the two, and kind of like where the ownership is. And I think that's important to weigh when you're deciding which one you want to go with. But I really do think, especially when Microsoft, which they're getting closer and closer to launching this whole thing with Xbox, when that gets closer and they launch that fully, I think you're really going to see cloud gaming take off in a lot of different ways, which has me a little bit nervous, again, with the bandwidth cap thing. But I'm hoping as that becomes more and more the norm, there's going to be more pressure on cable companies to increase that cap to something reasonable. But we'll see. I don't know. This is a process that will take years, not months, to be honest.
Data should be free.
It really should be, but we all know, you know. Anyway. All right. So that was Dark Socrates Gaming Week. Oh, actually, one other thing. And I don't mean to make this the Dead by Daylight cast, which we've talked about. We've talked about the gaming
depth. Maybe we should do that.
Well, let's talk later. But okay. I do want to ask about this, because you were kind of saying I'm struggling with the game a little bit. It's hard, you know, to get in there. And obviously practice is a big deal. But I have found this element of it fascinating for me, quite frankly, Jamie, is that you like to play The Killer, which is a first person game. You've yeah. been very adverse over the years to playing first person games because of what, you know, just it can make you sick if it's not, you know, the right thing and all this stuff. So but I know the lore of this game and everything else is like Halo's lore did not pull you in. Dead by Daylight's lore pulled you in to make you go enough like, all right, I got to just mentally give this a shot. So
I play windowed.
Oh, you play it in windowed, so that way it's not your entire screen.
Exactly. So then it's just a smaller area. I mean, I play with a pretty big screen, you know. I mean, keep in mind, I've got a 32-inch ultra widescreen monitor.
Yeah.
With a really great refresh rate. So it turns out that the other part of things had to do with the refresh. When I'm using a 60 megahertz screen, I get more nauseous. Having a higher refresh rate on my monitor, so I have a 144, has actually made it a bit easier for me.
Okay, so that was exactly what I needed to know, is kind of like, how did you consolidate that and kind of, I don't want to say get over it, because when we're talking about physical things, I don't want to ever say, you know, oh, get over it, but how were you able to kind of make it work, I guess? And that explains a lot, because yeah, when you play in windowed mode, then your eyes can kind of fixate if it needs to on the static background, and that kind of helps, right?
Yeah, so it really does help. And the fact, actually, the color of my background. So I have this Super Metroid background that's, you know, the dead people in the lab.
Yeah.
And the purples and blues actually add a nice frame around it that I also get less eye strain out of it. And so, and to answer, I answered DJ Ronma S already, but I'll say if it's an LG monitor, yes, my monitor is an LG. Mm-hmm. I paid almost as much as my Mac for my monitor.
Yeah. Wow.
So, well, I cash stocks. But yeah, I make sure that I keep softer light in my room. Like right now I have my lamp on cause I'm doing the show and I'll probably have it for other streaming events later. But it's, I've got to do a couple of things and I also make sure that I have something a little carby to eat cause it keeps my stomach from flip flopping.
I just think that part, so it's not even really just about Dead by Daylight. So, you know, don't razz me too much for talking about this game in depth 3 weeks in a row, but I think it's more the Dark Sakura kind of over, or kind of accommodated this, you know, thing that she's dealt with in first person games before to make it work because Dead by Daylight and the story and the uniqueness of it has appealed to her that much. I find that super fascinating, honestly.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But I also think that's part of why you're having an uphill climb, Jamie, because I know you were asking, like, well, how did you do it so fast? Well, I've played a crap ton of first-person games. I've played the Halo. I've played all this other stuff. And I think inherently there's stuff with that that you have to get used to on how those games control and how they move. And so you trying to navigate that and trying to make sure you don't get sick while playing it, I think you're going to have an even longer uphill climb, but you'll get there. Practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah, well, and I mean, the thing is that I know that the game still for Killers has a pretty decent curve on it anyway.
It does.
Especially since I'm starting with one of the harder characters.
Well, and you have to work your way up and level the characters so that you can get more perks, and then the perks help you do better. It's just, it has a steep climb.
She's tall. Yes. I'm not used to tall. Like, I do better. Now, And I'll get off the topic in a second. I've done better with some of the faster characters, like Legion and Trickster. Mm-hmm. They're fun. Mm-hmm. I like the fast ones. I mean, Trickster, even with his buff, he's still not very good. But I hate playing Bubba. I hate him, and I'm gonna have to level him for barbecue. So
yeah,
I think that's the thing, is that I'm getting over characters I'm not having a lot of fun with, to get to the stuff I'm going to have fun with. Because when I get to Nurse, it's over.
It's over for you, hoes. All right.
Oh, because if someone can play Nurse really well, just bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
All right. I do want to also mention, because we've been talking about the you know, these issues, and Pixel Paca says, thanks for the tips, Jamie. I try to get around motion sickness with windowed screen, large FOV, field of vision, right? Recently got a 144 hertz monitor, and it's helped, but some games still cause it. And so,
yeah, I'll have the same problem. And the thing is, the field of vision in Dead by Daylight is very, I guess, human range. Like when I'm playing a Plague, Vommy Mommy, she's taller, so her field of vision is different for me. But when I play somebody who's got a field of vision that's very similar to short little me, you know, it's easier. I don't have as many problems with it. And there are, I think, perks you can get that expand or add-ons that expand your field of view for your character.
Wraith has some, yeah.
Yeah. Well, ding dong. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know. I've seen them in play, and the standard FOV is honestly better.
And then one other thing I want to point out is that Bobby Blackwolf was kind of speaking up to one other thing you've been kind of open about your aversions with on the show, and that is VR, which I don't think is anything against VR as it is, but that VR kind of plays into a lot of the same things that have triggered sickness in first-person games, if I'm not misstating things. But
even more so.
But Bobby points out, and I think this is also interesting, this is why VR devices are pushing for higher refresh rates. The Valve Index now does 120 hertz. So it's interesting to see that VR, that industry realizes this as well, and they're trying to get to those higher refresh rates to maybe hopefully one day win more people like you over. We'll see. So
we'll see.
We'll see. Interesting. All right. Anyway, thank you for indulging my questions there. And I will say, live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, tonight after the show, I believe you're going to show some of your chops on Dead by Daylight.
Show some of my not chops.
So I think you're
It's basically just going to be a giant puke fest with Vommy Mommy.
So you're going to be streaming a little bit after OLR tonight. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I don't normally like to stream after we do OLR or do much of anything after OLR because I'm usually really tired after this show, but I'll switch off my headphones and put on the desktop audio and I'll suck it up for y'all.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Loki, thanks for waiting. And how was your gaming week?
It was pretty much all the same. So been all Minecraft all week long, playing on that multiplayer server that I'm on now. Still also trying to edit my video together. I'm almost done with the first episode. It just, I need to do more voiceovers because a lot of the stuff that I recorded before I didn't do voiceovers during, just because it's hard to do that, you know, in the area that I am. So it's just a lot of voiceover recording and editing together for that. But I've been enjoying it. I've built some farms and have to open up a shop. So I've got a lot more farms to make. And then I've taken the week off this week to play a lot of that. So it'll be a lot of Minecraft this week. And then Orna, a little bit of Orna as well.
I gotta admit, I've completely fallen off the Orna wagon. I haven't played in a month easy. It's just I can only fit in so many of those games, right, when I'm out and about.
Right.
And Orna's kind of got – I think Pokemon Go kind of got my interest enough again where it's like – and Ingress to an extent where Orna's kind of in the backseat. I don't know how much longer the Ingress thing's going to last, but they're really trying to push new stuff in that game to keep it interesting. I'll talk about that in a second. So Orna's just kind of in the backseat for now.
But yeah, I've been just trying to grind at that because I'm still like 184. Like I can't level up. It doesn't – it's – I don't know. I like – fight boss after boss. I guess I should do more of the raid bosses, but like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like I'm earning XP very fast.
Yeah, it's a grind. It really
so
is.
I just take over areas as I go places.
World bosses are the fastest way to do it. Drop the coin, and try to drive around safely, pull over in parking lots, okay? And, you know, hit every world boss you can in the parking lot, drive to another parking lot, do it again, and same.
Oh, I fight bosses all the time, but it's just nothing. I mean, it just doesn't seem to be making a dent.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. All right. Liberally run those coins and XP boosts because you probably have hundreds of them in your inventory. There's no need to
do every time. Every time play for like any given amount of time, I will do that. And I'll do the raids and or the gauntlets. A lot of times I've been doing like the endless gauntlets and stuff to, you know, earn some more stuff, or I'll do the boss only ones.
Yep.
It just nothing. It's a grind.
All right. Then if that's it for your gaming week, I'll talk about my gaming week, which is not a lot of new stuff this week. I've been continuing on in Final Fantasy 14 a little bit, except all of my buddies who play Final Fantasy 14 have kind of fallen off the wagon a little bit as they're playing other games. So I really only get on pardon me, to do like an expert or something a couple times, and there's not a lot else for me to do. Although I do need to run that new Nier raid again. I'll probably do it tomorrow. Run them all to get my coins to get upgrades. There's a big Final Fantasy 14 fan event coming up in a couple weeks, and they just released the schedule for the fan event. And man, this is where worldwide events stink, because like the keynote, I think is from like 8 to 10. No, maybe it was earlier. Maybe it was like 6 to 8 Pacific, which is fine. But then the programming goes all night long. And if you want to see the concert, guess when the concert airs? 2 a.m. to 3:50 Pacific time. I'm not going to be awake for that. Nobody on the East Coast is going to be awake for that, unless you're a diehard Final Fantasy fan, 14 fan, and you stay up all night. So hopefully they let us watch that stuff on demand and you can see it later. But the keynote's the most important part because that's where all the news will be. So, if they let us co-stream that again, maybe there'll be another reaction thing we'll do here at VOG. We'll see. Bob Coffee in chat says it must be running on JST. Absolutely. I think they were going to, at one point, invite a few fans to act, and not like a ton, but just a few to fill, like, you know, to safely fill a small room and do the presentation, do everything that way. I think, don't quote me on this, I think they've had to, or they are calling that off because unfortunately Japan is regressing a little bit on the COVID thing. So I don't think that is all happening in person after all. I think it's going to be similar to their event a few weeks ago where it's going to be a very awkward, empty room, but that's just what it is right now. So you're laughing, Loki. What's so damn funny?
Nothing. Just reading some stuff.
All right, that's fine. I was like, COVID's not funny. Don't laugh at that.
COVID's right. not funny.
Okay. Moving on. other things in my gaming week. I've also been playing the mobile games, Ingress and Pokemon Go. Not a lot notable. I was really irritated with that Pokemon Go event yesterday because Alan and I have been looking at houses. I haven't really made that a secret on this show, is that we're looking to buy finally after all these years, as is everyone in this area. Did you know this is the hottest real estate market in the entire nation right now? It's disgusting. So, yeah, we have a lot to deal with right now. But anyway... We've been doing all that, and so I missed like the first hour and a half of that Pokemon event on Saturday. Thank God the collection event was really easy because I was able to finish it after all, or I would have broken my perfect streak, and I would have been really upset about that. So just something to state there. So yeah, SJ100 Matt in chat says, yeah, the 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. was too short for that event. It really was. Community days are 6 hours long. Why wasn't it at least that long? That was a little ridiculous to me. I've still been playing Ingress. They've been doing events in that one, too. Like, they're running an event right now for, like, the week where they have changed one of the core game mechanics, which is very interesting to me. Currently, now in the game for the next week, you can throw a field under an existing field, which probably doesn't make sense to people who don't play the game. But part of it is you link Pokestops, their version of it, together to make fields for your team's color. And a core thing in the game is that links can't cross and you can't field under an existing field. You have to take the field down to field. And that's so one of those rules they're changing up this week. So that's kind of interesting. But also there's a huge boost in AP or experience. And so I've been trying to get like 30 minutes of exercise every day. So I'll just go out, play that, do some, like I walked downtown the other day and just did what I call micro fielding, where you just hack all the portals, link, just try to, you know, field very small areas of downtown and get tons of stuff that way. And I was at the college campus the other day, and I'll probably go somewhere else tomorrow and keep up with that throughout the event. So there's been that. And then the other thing I've been playing this week, of course, is Dead by Daylight. But here's the part where I'm sure y'all are going to laugh. I bought Dead by Daylight on Steam, even after I'd invested all that time in my Xbox One version. Finally, those things that came up last week where I'm like, I need to be able to turn around quickly and use keyboard and mouse and all this stuff. I finally broke down and bought it on PC on Steam. I had to have it that way. Now, before
you... Is it good?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. I've felt my gameplay improve tremendously. With the monitor right in front of my face, as opposed to the TV, I'm seeing more. The headphones, which I don't have for my Xbox One, I'm able to hear more. And that game is very important on sound cues. I didn't realize...
Especially if you play Spirit.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. And even just playing the killer, you've got to be able to hear the coughing and the, you know, crying and stuff. And I think for Survivor at some point, too, sound is very important.
I'm really tempted to try to see if I can find Strider to have teachable soon. But just for that reason, that's one thing. One good thing about Plague is that you can hear people retching when you vomited on them.
Yeah, so there's a lot of important sound stuff in the game. Now, before you all give me crap about buying a game multiple times, haha, guess what? This is the first time I've bought Dead by Daylight because Xbox Game Pass allowed me to play it on Xbox One. And I had played a little bit on Windows Game Store. I opted for Steam because I was told found out around the internet, Windows Game Store never has sales. Never. So I bought it on Steam. So this is actually the first time I bought the game. Unfortunately, the DLC is the stuff. Thankfully, thank God I didn't buy a lot of it. And that my murder sister, Dark Sakura, kind of hooked me up with a lot of it. It doesn't feel like as big a loss. And someday they will implement the cross purchase and I'll be able to get all the stats back. But we'll see. So.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know. Actually, for Behavior's website, you, I don't know if they have any kind of link through Xbox, but they do have a Stadia and a Steam link.
They do.
There.
It does not include Windows Store or anything else yet, although they say it's coming.
That sucks.
And to clarify, I'm sorry, DJ Roma S says the Microsoft Store does have a lot of sales, but they don't advertise it as well. I'm sorry, I may have misstated what I said. Yes, that is true. And the Xbox market front does a lot as well. Specifically, Dead by Daylight is you go on the Reddit and thing like that, and people will say they never have sales on Dead by Daylight or the characters in the Windows Store. So I just opted to get it on Steam, whatever. Because Steam was having a half off sale on the game itself anyway, so that made me kind of pull the trigger on that. So
Stadia is, I think, also having a sale though on the gold version of the game.
Oh, nice!
Like $36 bucks.
Yeah. I rebought Pyramid Head because, of course, I think I will be a Pyramid Head main when all is said and done. And I did buy Bubba or Leatherface, which I didn't even have on Xbox One, just because I'm like, I need to get that perk. And why not? I'll have this killer in my repertoire. And I've been playing mostly Bubba. I don't like his talent at all. Like, I think the chainsaw thing is kind of crap. It's nice for getting through pallets quickly. But he is what a lot of the streamers would call an M1 killer, meaning you use your mouse.
I hate the tantrum.
You use your mouse button one, and that's about it. So anyway, all right, enough about that. Let's get into some other gaming news and talk about what else is going on in the industry. Bonds 006 is also pointing out the store have sales. They don't promote it. Well, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it really make a sound? I guess, to use a very old, antiquated analogy. All right. Let's get into some other news.
But in space, can no one actually hear you scream?
All right, Loki.
So we talked about how Sony was planning on getting rid of the PlayStation 3 and Vita storefronts, and that was making people upset, of course. So thankfully, Sony has decided that it's going to hold off on shutting those down. So basically, upon further reflection, it is clear that we made the wrong decision here. So I'm happy to say we'll be keeping the PlayStation Store operational for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita devices. PSP commerce functionality will retire on July 2nd. So sorry, PSP, but you know, all your batteries are probably bloated anyways, and none of those devices work anymore.
Well,
but at least the Vita and the PlayStation 3, though, those would be prolonged.
A lot of the PSP content is on the Vita store. Am I correct in that? Like, cause
you can get those. You can get the PSP games for the Vita. So
I have a digital version of that Final Fantasy IV PSP, which is the greatest version of that game, that I bought on the Vita marketplace because it went on sale at some point for like $14 or something. So I bought it like years ago. So the Vita still has a lot of the PSP content, and I think that's why you're not hearing this little footnote as much. Plus, maybe people are just a little more willing to let the PSP go, because how old is that thing now? Like 14 years old, probably?
It's pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's too bad, you know. I really wish they would do another handheld.
It
wasn't so bad. Like, Vita was trying to do some things that it probably didn't need to do, like the back touch panel, really. I don't think we really needed that. But, like, it was solid, I thought.
The Vita just had some weird shit. That's what it did. The Vita had some weird shit. It was the not just the back touch panel, but things like Nier. Like, no one could. I think to this day, you still can't explain how that actually worked. Whereas Nintendo did a much better job explaining Street Pass and those types of things. And especially with how big portable gaming is in Japan, which is only further proved by how hotcakes the Switch is over there, I am really surprised Sony's never tried to do another handheld. And I'm surprised they gave up on the Vita as fast as they did, at least here in the U.S. That was just kind of, I don't know. But I suppose, you know, this is a topic that, you know, is 5 years old at this point.
I know.
It is what it is. Are we surprised, though, that Sony reversed course? I have to admit, I'm a little surprised they reversed course. And I'm not... Well, I know this sounds weird. I'm not exactly sure why they did it.
I don't know either.
And
here's
the crazy thing. And I know you're probably... You are probably all going, Rob, didn't you just last week talk about, like, the backwards compatibility and how... Yes, and that is all still true. And I can still believe that and still sit here and say, I'm kind of surprised Sony backtracked, because I'm not sure there's a ton of people who are going to log into their PlayStation 3 and Vitas and stuff and start going on a downloading binge in celebration. They might. I don't know.
I probably should. I've got like a 500 gigabyte hard drive in that, so I should probably fill it up.
And I want to make my stance clear. And I'm sure it's great that the stores are staying open so that this PlayStation 1 content and 2 content and all that stuff is accessible and playable. That is all great. What do I really want? I want that to be playable on PlayStation 5.
I want my library to go to PlayStation
5. That is real, you know. And if maybe Sony can cross that bridge, then they can safely probably close these old stores and, you know, they won't have quite the same, you know, pushback. If I can play Suikoden 1 and 2 on my PlayStation 5 now, then I don't have to worry about the PlayStation 3 version. That makes sense. That's what it really comes down to. So, let's see. SG 100 Matt points out the Vita was just getting into doing some good remote play, which would have been cool in this era. Absolutely. How quickly Sony abandoned the Vita TV thing blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind how fast they abandoned that PlayStation TV.
I wish I knew where mine was. I have one somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
I honestly, if they're going to keep these stores open, Sony should really consider putting that back out. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know, with the Chromecast, the Apple TVs, the Rokus, and all this stuff of the world, there's a place for PlayStation TV in there. I don't get it. I don't. But
now's the time to jailbreak those systems too,
I guess. Not that is going to be incentive for Sony to put those back out, but you know, it just blows my mind. They could have done a classic thing for PlayStation 1 on a Vita TV anyway, it's just not going to make sense. Well, let's talk about PlayStation decisions that I think do make a little more sense, because I feel like this one came up on the show previously, and it's something being tested called the PlayStation Plus Video Pass. Apparently, this was posted on Sony's website, but it was posted in another country. I think it was it this particular story I'm looking at doesn't say where, so I really looked at the wrong story here, but I believe it was the Polish store. Yes, thank you. Okay, it was the Polish store that said, a new benefit is available for a limited time on PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus Video Pass is a trial service that will be active, and it was really quick, I think for a year. So April 22nd, 2021 through 2022. This is a benefit available to PlayStation Plus users in Poland. Now, Sony Interactive Entertainment did confirm this is something they're testing in Poland. So this is not a rumor at this point. When this was first reported, this was, oh, rumor, leaked website. No, Sony has confirmed it. This will allow PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 users in Poland, which is their test market, to access over 20 movie and television shows from Sony Pictures as part of PlayStation Plus subscriptions, with more content that they're going to add every 3 months. And if you actually look at a screenshot from the Polish website for PlayStation, you see Zombieland Double Tap, Venom, you know, and other things that are related to Sony. So a way to, I guess, increase the value of being a PlayStation Plus member. And to this, I say this makes an awful lot of sense. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we bring this up on the show a few months ago about how could Sony compete more with Game Pass? And I swear I said, or one of us said, Sony is also a movie company. Why aren't they leveraging that? Well, guess what? Here that plan apparently was in the works, and here they are. They are leveraging that side of things. Now let me ask this question. Does it matter? I asked that to our chatters over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I asked that to my co-hosts. How does free movies from Sony Entertainment, does that sweeten the pot a little bit? Loki, I'll start with you.
No, not really, because I have so many streaming services I subscribe to already. Like, for example, Venom is supposed to be on Disney Plus here pretty soon. It's nice to have something else in there, though. Like, it would be cool, like, if they just said, hey, you get, you know, these two games for the month of, like, May, and you get this movie, you know, added to your library, and you get an increasingly large library of movies and games, then yes, that would seem like it's sweetening the pot. But also at the same time, I don't really care, because I there's not anything that like I need to go back and see. What they need to do is they just need to offer the stuff so that it's more like they need to drop the price of those movies down to the point where it's just kind of like a, you know, impulse buy. And so people can build libraries like they have on Steam, where it's just like these large libraries of things that no one plays, but then you can acquire all these movies as well. That might be cool.
Okay. Looking in chat at some responses there, and then I'll ask Dark Sakura. Bonds 006 is talking about, you're right, with their music, film, and games, Crunchyroll and Funimation bundle it into the monthly sub. You can go from playing a game to anime on the same system and so forth. Pele Hanumea says, could be cool. Dijirama S is also bringing up the anime streaming services. It could sweeten the pot, but meh. ActDev says, more bang for your buck. SG100 Matt pointing out that Sony and Disney have that new deal for Spider-Man and other Marvel to be shared on their respective services. That was a thing that just came up this week, and you gotta wonder, is there something with the timing there? Questbuster says, I guess we'll see if it matters in a year if they stick to it. That's how long they will be testing this in Poland. I feel like the test is actually a lot shorter than that. Yeah, I read the website. I saw what it said. I feel like if this is going to happen, we're going to hear about it at E3. Well, Sony doesn't do E3, but you guys know what I mean. That time frame, whatever Sony's E3 equivalent is, we're going to hear more about this if they plan to expand it beyond Poland. And I think they will. Why wouldn't they? It maybe it's a technical thing. Maybe that's what they're kind of also testing in Poland. I don't know. But I really feel like they will. Bonds 006 also elaborates, saying Sony is sitting on film, TV shows, music, games, and anime. Bundle it into the current sub they have, PlayStation Plus. Price it less than Microsoft. Dijirama S suggesting they call it the Sony Pass. SSJ100 Math says, I think the pandemic spread this process up. Questbuster says the E3 bombshell is prepping. I don't know if I'd call this a bombshell. It's a bombshell if there's more to it that makes it more competitive with Game Pass. Like, maybe there's another side of this we're not seeing yet. And those rumors that Sony is cooking up something to really compete with Game Pass, I'm not talking about PlayStation Now, but to really compete with it on that same level. If that all drops at once, then that's a bombshell, in my opinion. But the movies in PlayStation Plus is just kind of a, oh, neat. I don't know if I'd call that a bombshell. I'd call that a firework. It's pretty. Dark Sakura, I wanted to get your opinion. Do movies sweeten the pot of these game subscription services like PlayStation Plus? You're muted, by the way. Dark Sakura, I can't hear you. Sorry. And she's fixing that.
Crap. There
That's okay.
Go.
Hi.
I was like, yeah, it's neat. I don't really feel one way or another about it. I mean, it's still not a service I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
But it could attract some people. There's always that.
Yeah.
And if it attracts them, then happy. I would rather see a big package service come in, just like what some of the others are saying.
So something that invokes the music and the anime and all that as well.
Exactly.
That would be a little more like that makes me think of something like Apple's thing. Is it Apple Plus? I don't. But they
Apple One.
That's it. They bundle it like it's the fitness and the music and the news and all that all in one for like a pretty low price, all things considered, when you look at everything individually. So like if Sony were to make a similar move with a Sony One, or I don't know, you know what I mean, whatever they call it.
Yeah,
that would be very interesting, I think.
Yeah. No. I. Honestly, I seem to really like having those combination bundles like that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're giving it, especially if something in there is something that people are going to use, you can really, you know, people would get a lot of value out of it if it's got those multiple services. But still, you know, I'm also a fan of having like an individual thing you can subscribe to. Like if you just want the movies, you just want this. So that you're not roped into paying for a big thing with only, you know, that has one out of three services you're going to use.
Right. Yeah. All right. Great. Looking, one more comment here from Bonds006 in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Sony can leverage the U.S. market by bringing over the content that was marketed to Asia, India, China, Japan, etc. It can go from games, anime, Bollywood, music, films, TV show. The anime audience is very much tied to games. That's a really good thought, is that making maybe foreign content more accessible, because you're right. There's absolutely an audience that would love to have like a more robust like Bollywood film library, or you know, movies from the like China and other countries in Asia, those places you mentioned. I think that would really appeal to some people. Some people might see that as a niche thing, but I think that's great. You know, there's probably a lot of crossover between like gamers, you know, and folks that would be into some of that more independent and foreign film. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we'll see what Sony really does. I mean, we can sit here and go, wouldn't this be great? But licensing, cost, how's it going to get paid for, right? Movies don't make themselves. So anyway, all right, moving on. Darce Hawker, you've got a really timely and interesting science story, huh?
Yeah, when I saw it, I thought it was very, very interesting. There are plans for clinical trials to go on to see if video game therapy can help with adults who are suffering from COVID-related brain fog. And we know what this condition is. It's the best way to describe it. It's just this confusion and general malaise of the mind, of attention, you know. It's very similar to the therapies that have been used for ADHD treatment in the past. But yeah, there are people who have who've recovered from COVID who have this residual cognitive and functional difficulty. So the trial is being conducted by Weill Cornell Medicine, also with Vanderbilt University Medical Center, to see how effective a game called AKLT01 will help patients recover from this brain fog. They're going to include 100 patients over the age of 18 who have shown cognitive impairment in at least one measure of attention and executive function. Half will receive treatment, half will be a control group. They're going to be completing 5 missions a day, 5 days a week, and it's about 25 minutes of gameplay every day. And it will go on for 6 weeks with 4 weeks of post-treatment follow-up. So I think it's pretty interesting, you know. And I have to say that this brain fog that people are exhibiting after COVID infection is very, very similar to what people like me who have ME experience, you know, just with our everyday fatigue. It's just really fascinating.
I thought the ADHD parallel was very interesting too, because I've heard a lot of that defined as brain fog too.
I would still, honestly, I kind of would put it a little bit more, just from the people I've talked to who are dealing with it, more along the lines of what I have, myalgic encephalomyelitis. Myelitis, sorry, I always mispronounce that part. Or chronic fatigue syndrome, where it's not always necessarily a matter of being able to pay attention. It's being fogged out of it. You know, like you're too tired to focus on anything.
Yeah, you know, these long haul kinds of symptoms, this is really going to be interesting to see how, you know, we've got the vaccines now, and hopefully we're on our way to vastly minimizing COVID. I think it would be a little bit too silly to say something like eradicating
it's
COVID.
I don't.
That's not something. Yeah. Unless you can somehow get the entire planet to take a vaccine at the same time. I don't think it's going to go away. So
well, and let's also be real. We've already had one mutation of it.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, 2 mutations.
Oh, more than that. Yeah. But anyway.
But there's two more active strains out there right now.
But my point is that, you know, even if we get COVID to a manageable level where it really is like a seasonal flu, let's say, you know, and we're dealing with it in similar capacities, we're not having to shut things down because we have a way to kind of get it. I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of the shift turn to how we deal with some of these long haul systems and really treating COVID. There's been a lot of talks about preventing COVID, but we haven't talked a lot about treating COVID. And surely scientists are working on that, and they've been working on it since the very beginning. And that's where you had the talks about, you know, that drug that you know who was saying was the miracle drug. And no, but that whole discussion came from treating COVID and how do you do that? And there's going to be more talk like that in the future, too. So I just think that's interesting. And also, you know, not just a miracle drug, but therapeutic, you know, a therapeutic kind of treatment like you might have for somebody who has a physical accident or a stroke or something that involves, you know, physical rehabilitation. I think that's very interesting that is something that they're kind of talking about with COVID. That's what this is. It's this video game therapy is a type of physical rehabilitation.
It really is. It's brain training. I mean, really is what this is, brain training.
Yeah. So very interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. DJ Rama S in chat says, and more people are going out because of the vaccines. Slow down, people. Yeah, you got to. Yeah, I mean,
still got to wear your masks. Still have to minimize content.
Today is my full 5G activation day. Yay. It's been 2 weeks since the second shot, but you're not going to see me running to a crowded bar anytime soon. And I ain't ready for that yet. But
I've already.
I will like to see my other vaccinated friends as their 5G fully activates and give them a big hug. And that I will be able to do, and that will feel good.
Well, and I've just, you know, like for my charity group for the sisters, I've been flat out 2 weeks. I'm not going to have a meeting with y'all for another 2 weeks. And that's if everybody at that meeting is vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And I still, I mentioned on the last show, right? Alan got scheduled for a shot. So Alan got his first shot this week. So he got to join Team Pfizer with Dark Sakura. So I don't know how that worked out, but that we have different vaxes in the same household. But whatever, he took what they gave him. So that's that. So the countdown is on for that. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about our next story, which I believe is Loki's.
So Microsoft has went ahead and added that FPS boost to a few more games now. So a lot of these are EA. Well, it's actually, as to say, all EA titles. So now there's about, looks like 12 new titles that are supporting 120 hertz. So Battlefield 4, Titanfall, Titanfall 2, Battlefront 2, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, and Garden Warfare 2, as well as Battle for the Neighborville, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, and Unraveled 2. And then for Sea of Solitude, they added 60 hertz support as well, and that's on the Series X and S. So that's a pretty nice enhancement for those titles.
Yeah. I wonder if that had kind of a priority because they have that agreement with Game Pass and everything where EA Play is a
Maybe.
Part of Game Pass. Yeah, I bet
yeah,
that plays
that
into
would
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So and we just talked earlier in the show about how increased frame rate, especially for a lot of the type of games that EA likes to make, can be very helpful for some people. I think
I'm assuming that a lot of that all probably got upgraded because it isn't like everything they have run on Frostbite anyways. So like make an enhancement for one to run at 120 hertz and you probably apply it to everything. Kind of like how they did with like backwards compatibility. You get one game to work with that and you can get a bunch of other ones to work. So maybe that was the, you know, maybe that's why. I don't know if everything runs on Frostbite, but I know a lot of their games run on Frostbite.
Oh, so it's kind of like they made the engine work better, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would think, but...
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Time for Andromeda.
Yeah, right, and I was thinking Mass Effect as well, but they probably don't want to take... Andromeda's one thing, but they probably don't want to take away from that remaster coming out. They don't want to be like, oh, we improved Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, so don't worry about that remaster.
True, yeah.
No. They want your money
but
on that
But they're
remaster.
Doing it on Unreal, though, aren't they?
I think so. I think it's whatever the old games used.
It is.
Yeah, so... yeah, you're right. They switched to Frostbite with Andromeda, so that's kind of a different thing, I think. So
yeah,
but also a lot of those games that Loki mentioned kind of date back to the 360 era, and I think with you know, Andromeda being a little newer from the Xbox One era, it probably already runs pretty well, and there's not a lot that they can do to it. So yeah. There's that. All right, Well, I'll have to check out some of those games. I've been meaning to go back and play Garden Warfare again. That one's kind of fun. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about this interesting development in some former folks that used to be with Bungie Studios. Of course, you know, Bungie is the team that made Halo back in the day. Destiny is a big thing that they're working on. Well, Firewalk Studios is a company that's made up of, or I should say the founders of Firewalk Studio worked on Destiny previously. And it was announced this week that Sony Interactive Entertainment has picked up the rights to an upcoming game from this studio. Of course, we don't know what it is because this studio hasn't announced anything yet. But this sure seems timed well for June, doesn't it? And an announcement there. Anyway, there was a PlayStation blog post, and in the blog post, Tony Hsu from Firewalk Studio, the head of that, says, "For our team, the opportunity to create new worlds and inspire more amazing moments for players around the world is the fire and ambition that keeps us going. The PlayStation team has a deep love and respect for the medium of games and some of the best expertise and capabilities in the world to help make big ambitions a reality. Obviously, we have no idea what they're working on. You could assume it's a Destiny-like game, but then again, you know, take a look at Halo and then take a look at Destiny and kind of like how those games, like Destiny kind of has some of the, like, yes, they're both first-person shooters, but they're very different in how they work. So it'd be very interesting to see kind of like what that evolution continues to with Firewalk Studios. And of course, we're even assuming it will continue to be a first-person shooter. I think it's a safe bet. I don't suddenly, oh, they're going to do an RPG. Well, Destiny has RPG-ish elements. Who knows? Anything's possible, I guess. But I would expect it's going to rely a bit on probably some of their past expertise. Anyway, the studio was formed in 2018, so they've been working on something for a little while. Let's see. Sue is the lead of this. He was the general manager and senior vice president of Destiny over at Activision. Ryan Eli, if I'm saying that right, maybe Eli, sorry for the butchering of the name there, is a game director and was a former Bungie creative director. Executive producer Elena Siegman was a producer on Guitar Hero 2 and Bioshock Infinite and then Destiny as well. That's quite the diverse resume, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, the cast definitely. On that one's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So anyway, other people at the studio have worked on things like Call of Duty, Apex Legends, Mass Effect. Apparently they have some folks from there, and Halo. So we'll see what they come up with. That could be very interesting. I'm hoping for the executive producer there to bring some of her Guitar Hero 2 influence. How about a music-based Destiny game? I'd be into that.
I still never got into Destiny, so
it's not bad. Like I know that's a really whack recommendation. I don't play a lot of first-person shooters. I do get into Halo once in a while. There's other obviously, you know, Dead by Daylight, but that's not a shooter. You know, I don't get into a lot
it's
of.
It's not a shooter, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get unless you play Gunslinger. I don't get into a lot of those. I don't get into
that's
a.
It's more like a harpoon.
But you know what I mean. I don't get into a lot of those first-person shooter games. But well, I liked Overwatch. That's a first-person sort of. It's but again, Overwatch is really different because there's so many like you. Not everybody actually shoots in that game. If you're playing somebody with a sword or, you know, healing with a like a Lucio or something.
Mass Effect multiplayer third person or first person?
It was that same over the shoulder that the rest of the game was.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember for a moment, but I was just trying to think. Yeah, didn't I play other first person? Yeah.
So, oh yeah, it's true. Sorry, ActDev says Lucio still shoots. That's right. There's the little gun that. But I think of the healing bubbles and things. But anyway, you guys know what I mean. I don't get into a lot of those games. But Destiny, for one, it's really pretty now that it's on Series X, and I'm sure the PlayStation 5 version is the same thing. They're both very pretty, I'm sure. And it's I like it because it does have the light RPG elements in it. It doesn't feel like you're just shooty, bang, bang, kill them all. There's quests to do. There's goals to work towards. I like the idea, the concept of raids in a first-person shooter where you're basically going into an instance thing with other people, and they made it a very PvE experience. I think that's probably the best accolade I could give Destiny, is that if you don't like first-person shooters because of PvP elements, Destiny did a really good job making a PvE first-person game. The PvP stuff is there too, but the PvE is pretty top-notch in that game. So that's what I would say about Destiny. All right. Anyhow, I'm loving ActF's salty commentary on Overwatch. Brigitte used to heal. Now she does nothing with all those nerfs she got. I see. All right. Moving on. Let's get to our next story. This one's an interesting game thing. Dark Sakura, another kind of interest story that I think is interesting.
For sure. So this actually goes a lot into, I would say, intellectual property rights. And indeed, I did find this on a report about intellectual property. There is argument now on the use of tattoos in video games. There was a decision that was made regarding a professional wrestler's tattoos in a video game, in one of the Take-Two WWE 2K games. So basically, the wrestler in question is Randy Orton, and he's got tattoos that were done by Catherine Alexander. She had inked those six different ones on him between 2002 and 2008. So he licensed his likeness to be used in the game, but she was arguing that because her artwork wasn't licensed to be used in the game, that they had violated copyright, that they had used her art, basically copyright infringement with using unauthorized artwork with an implied license. Basically, and that is what Take-Two is moved for summary judgment. Again, that they were authorized to use it by an implied license and that they were using it under fair use. And that it constitutes a de minimis part of WWE 2K. So, yeah, they had a big argument over it in court. So with the implied license, the court found that two parts of that were satisfied, partially due to conflicting testimony about agreement to forms copyrighting the tattoo. They ruled that that should be heard by a jury. The second defense, the four factors that were necessary to establish fair use, is that the purpose and character of the use, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount and sustainability of the plaintiff's work, and the effect of the market of the copyrighted work. And so basically, they found that Take-Two did not meet the standard necessary requirements. And then finally, they argued that the use of tattoos were de minimis, which what de minimis means is actually short for de minimis non curat lex, which is the law does not concern itself with trifles, meaning that it
No, I know. It's funny.
Yeah. Maybe I should just like have that tattooed on me. anyway. They were unsuccessful in arguing that because there was an open question as to whether the Seventh Circuit recognized de minimis as a valid defense. And even so, they couldn't see that Take-Two met the standard. So the court's decision was to deny the defense's motion for summary judgment effectively, which effectively means that anyone with a tattoo does not control all use of their likeness. So this is going to be going to jury.
Interesting. You know, and I can kind of see it both ways. I really can, because, you know, I kind of get, like, if it was her original artwork that she, you know, did specifically for him, and now he's out basically reselling it and, you know, having it in games and stuff, then I kind of get that. But at the same time, like, the dude's on TV. He's a wrestler. I'm sure, you know, a lot of wrestlers end up going to star in movies. If he's in a movie and that tattoo is visible in the movie, does she get money? I don't think that's how it works.
Or even just any actor.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. I feel like this is something that needs to be established in the tattoo artist who they're tattooing relationship from the get-go. And I think because of this case, you may see like this have repercussions for anyone who gets a tattoo. Well, I think it could be very interesting.
Brought up a point that I was going to is that I look at it as, because it's technically commissioned work.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, me as a graphic designer, if someone commissioned my work or my services, you know, hey, I would like you to design this banner for my website. The moment I have delivered the artwork, it becomes their property.
Yeah.
It is no longer my, I can use it in my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can certainly use it, but I can't put my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if someone commissioned a painting from me and I painted it, then yeah, I reckon that would be kind of a gray area. You know, that if they were gonna say film in their house and my artwork was there, then I may ask for, you know, a little something because my artwork was seen, because as I like to say, artists die of exposure. But at the same time, you know, I would put this right in the range of commissioned work.
Yeah.
When you make that commission and you part ways with that commission is no longer yours. You can put it in your portfolio and tattoo it on other people, unless someone else designed that tattoo that you did. Like, for example, if I designed a tattoo and I went and had someone put it on, you know, put that on my body, they cannot go and put it on somebody else without paying me for it.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
What would you say would happen if this wrestler tried to sell the NFT of his tattoo? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. All right.
Oh, well, I mean, actually, I'll be honest. In that case, if he had, like, a scan of it or something,
uh-huh.
he can't sell that.
Okay. Yeah. I think this whole thing is legit. Like, jokes, cheap jokes about things that are big in pop culture right now aside, I think it's interesting about the precedent this could actually set. Again, like, for, you know, because
there's some murky areas on
there's
it.
A lot of tattoo artists who are going to be looking at this, I'm sure, and probably never thought about that question, because not everyone is necessarily a tattoo artist to the stars, so to speak. But I'm sure there's a lot of tattoo artists going, what if I did tattoo someone famous? Like, what would happen there? Where everybody's seeing, you know, what I did. So I think it's gonna be very interesting to see what the ramifications of that end up being.
What I see is gonna happen, actually, is that I think that there are going to be, when you go to be professionally tattooed, that there is going to be a license paperwork drawn up. Yeah.
You know, and now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, because I always kind of go like, well, why are games being treated different than movies? And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, as you're kind of explaining a lot of these things, I think what it really comes down to is that in a movie or whatever, you're filming it. In a TV show, you're filming it. You got a camera at it.
And this is a recreation.
Bingo. It's a recreation. It's tracing. You're tracing the tattoo. You know what I mean, though. You're basically, you're recreating it. You're making a copy of it. And that's where the very interesting dilemma lies.
But it could also be considered derivative work.
Yeah.
You know, there's also other things under, they wouldn't have a Creative Commons license on it, but there are like other rules, like having something be more than 50% changed in artwork, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I could imagine being a tattoo artist who wants their name out there better, who wants their work protected. I understand it from the artist's point of view, certainly as an artist myself. But I also understand that when the product has left my hands, it belongs to the body that it's on. It doesn't belong off of that body. They can't recreate it themselves to sell it. And so that's, I think, where that murky ground is. I think that I wouldn't be, I don't know.
Yeah. Let me get some other comments.
That
in chat.
Is a little bit murky. Yeah.
Sia Tabiri in chat says, has a tattoo artist done other celebrities? I'm sure there's plenty of celebrities that have had tattoos. Has this person also run into other issues before? I think what's happening here is that this is a case where the realism of video games is starting to bring up these issues. You know, think about this is a relatively newer thing, because when we were recreating wrestlers on the Nintendo, on the Super Nintendo, hell, even the PlayStation and kind of the PlayStation 2, the graphical fidelity to recreate the tattoos with such precision and such specificity or whatever specificness didn't really exist. The tattoo was a pixel.
Precision,
that's a good way to put it. Thank you. Yeah. Now that we're talking about PlayStation 4 and 5 and lifelike stuff, I think this is why this is coming up now for the first time. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Agdeft in chat says, let's say that if it were like all the fan-made work you see at artists' alleys and conventions, we know it's not legal, but we just ignore it and support the artist. That is very true. And here's the thing you have to keep in mind with all that. If that's your business, you know, cool. And yes, we want to support artists and all that stuff. But you have to realize, if Blizzard wanted to shut down your Overwatch art, or your Warcraft art, or if, you know, whatever it is, whatever your fandom is, if they wanted to come in and shut that down, they can. So in a sense, you're living on borrowed time whenever you're incorporating someone else's trademark or copyright. You're right. Most companies let it slip under the radar because it's just it's too expensive to chase. It doesn't make them look good. This is a case where for the bigger companies, exposure, you know. Would Overwatch be able to do something like the Overwatch League without the huge fandom that it has? And what's a part of that fandom? Fan art.
Yeah.
Right? So I think these companies very carefully have to weigh something like that. But look at a company like Disney, too. Disney's incredibly litigious. But usually if it's something, you know, under the table, again, they're not going to go after a lot of personal creators and stuff. But they might. And you kind of always have to live with that in the back of your mind. Just like most of us that stream on Twitch, you know, what we do here at VOG is a little different because it's pretty much, you know, it's us on camera and all that stuff. But there may come a day for things like, let's say, Dark Soccer streaming Dead by Daylight. There may come a day where behavior comes in and says, you know what? We want the money. And that's a whole, and that thing's been bubbling under for a long time. By the way, that specific example, I believe behavior has openly said, we don't care if you stream it, you know, and that whole thing. But my example of we're living on borrowed time and all that is, I think, still relevant. So anyway, Amethyst Rose Witch points out fan art is to a point free advertising. Yeah. Yes, but we are kind of saying,
as I said,
it's exposure.
Artists die of exposure.
It's exposure, but it's the inverse, because it's now you're trying to support the indie artist, but the big company, they're not going to miss it, type of thing. So it's interesting, and I want to be clear. I've bought fan art at stuff. I like it as gifts. Like when Alan was super into Overwatch, I bought him some posters. I think I picked them up at Magfest, actually, that I thought were really cute. And so, you know, I love fan art and stuff. I don't want to see that change, but I'm just saying these sorts of legal questions, it kind of brings up all these questions about we might be on borrowed time, y'all. Anyway, let's move on to something a little more timeless and talk about retro consoles. Loki.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So Evercade's been around for a while. It's like this handheld device that plays these cartridges with collections of different retro games and some indie games. Actually, they actually have one that has a bunch of NESmaker NES games in there, so it's pretty cool. It covers everything. Well, now they're actually doing this new system called the Evercade VS, which is going to be basically taking this portable console and making it into like a home console. So the difference here is that there's going to be two cartridge slots, so now you can have two different cartridges loaded in at a time to select games from. They're going to have support up to four controllers and also Wi-Fi and 1080p support as well for your TV. And it's supposed to be coming out later this year, around November, for I think $100. I'm not certain about the price on that. Yeah, $100. So that's actually about the same price as their handheld was with a few games thrown in. But it's pretty cool. They've got like lots of collections from like Atari, Namco, Data East, all sorts of things. So, it's interesting. I don't know if I pick it up, but it's definitely, you know, along the lines of like, if you're, you know, looking at a console, say kind of like the Amico or something like that, that's playing, you know, more of this couch co-op stuff, you're going to get a lot of that from the Evercade as well.
That's sounds like a lot of fun. I like the homebrew stuff kind of built into it a little bit there. Loki, is that a way to get more copies of Pixel Poops out there? You got to get team up with one of these consoles.
Totally do that if they wanted to put it on one of those things.
Right.
I know, like, for example, there's one cartridge that has, it does have a few different NES homebrew stuff. So there's Flea, I know, is one of the games that's made with Nest Maker that's in there. There's also the, I'm trying to think of the name now. I have it on itch too. It's basically with Doodle World is another one that they have on there. And I think there was a couple other Nest Maker games that were part of that. And it was I'm trying to think of the actual collection. It's like something Indies collection that they had, but there's like four games on one cartridge. That was pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, sure, I will put it on one of those collections in a heartbeat. The question, I don't think anyone's going to ask me for that.
I was going to say, there's probably as many people listening to this podcast as bought your game, so don't hold your breath that Evercade is listening.
I'm not holding any breath whatsoever, but like, yeah, absolutely.
But we love all 12 of you who listen. We really do. Hugs and kisses. All right. Pixel Paca is talking about Evercade in chat, saying the Evercade portable is pretty fun. I like that their carts always come with five games minimum. There's a Mega Cat Studios cart that has various homebrew games. There's also like Indie Heroes collection. I think that does sound pretty cool. I think we reported this on this once, and it kind of fell off my radar. But I think that I love that concept of we're still making cartridges in a new way with the retro stuff. I think that's pretty rad, actually.
Yeah, and they've got all sorts of like things in there. There's I'm trying to see the one that they had that actually had all those cool homebrew games. So I think it was it's the Indie Heroes one. So that's the one that has Flea. I believe Doodle World's in there. I don't recognize the other games, but I know there's like at least three or four Nest Maker games in there. Plus they've got a collection from Codemasters. The Atari Lynx stuff is in there. Lots of cool stuff. So yeah, they have like, I think like 280 games on the system right now. So it's definitely interesting.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's move on. I've talked about Blizzard a lot. Maybe they've been on my mind because I knew this story was coming. And this has to do with a pretty big personality over at Blizzard leaving the company. This is not the first time we've had a story like this in the past few months when it comes to Blizzard. However, Jeff Kaplan, who is very well known, if you've seen his face, you probably go, oh, that's the guy that is always talking about Overwatch. Well, yes, it's because he is the director of Overwatch. He's been with Blizzard for almost two decades. That's 19 years. And he announced this week he is leaving Blizzard, saying, quote, "It was truly the honor of a lifetime to have the opportunity to create worlds and heroes for such a passionate audience." If you want to read his full goodbye note, it is available at playoverwatch.com. Aaron Keller will be taking over for Jeff Kaplan. He has also been with Blizzard for quite a long time. They both worked on World of Warcraft prior. And in a statement, Aaron Keller said, "Jeff's been a great leader, mentor, and friend, and he knows how much we're going to miss him. I've been lucky to work alongside him and the rest of the Overwatch team for many years in building something that continues to inspire people all around the world, and I'm honored to carry the torch forward. Of course, some folks in the Overwatch community expressed some concern because, you know, Overwatch itself hasn't had a lot of updates recently because, you know, they're prepping for number two and they've already done a lot of updates to the base game. But Overwatch 2, we know, is not coming out in 2021. And so obviously this timing is a little bit concerning to some people. I don't know so much about that because Diablo 3 went through so many. I think they went through like three different directors, and that game's still clunking along and doing fine. And Diablo 4 is, you know, in a good place too. I think the perception of what's happening with this news is just, oh, there goes another Blizzard exec abandoning ship. You know, what the fuck's going on? Activision Blizzard. Activision's ruined the company. There's another one. And the reality is this could be a lot of things. And Bobby went into some good detail on his show tonight, so I'll give him a shout-out and a plug for Bobby Blackwolf, our pal over there in his show. And he went into depth kind of talking about, you know what, this whole COVID thing that a lot of us have been going through have made us reevaluate a lot of things. And one of those big things is where I'm working. maybe I want to change that up a little bit. Maybe I'm taking up a new skill while I'm on furlough or layoff from my job, and now I want to use that skill to get a better job. And, you know, different types of companies are hiring, and so on and so on. I'm not going to repeat what he said too much. But the point of that is, we don't know what this guy's plans are professionally. And you know what? After you've been at a company for 19 years, to want to change it up a little bit is not that unusual. But again, that perception is there. All of these people that have been leaving Blizzard recently were there a very long time, and you would imagine were very happy. But now here's another one that's gone. So I think a lot of the tea leaves on that will come out in what does he do next? If he goes to another company and starts working on an Overwatch-like game, that's probably a pretty telltale sign something was wrong at Blizzard. But if the dude decides to take a year off to be with his family and go on a nice big vacation, which he has absolutely fucking earned, I'm sure, and I don't even follow Overwatch that closely as much as many other people do, then I think that will maybe read a different way. Or if he's decided, you know what, after 20 years in the video game industry, I want to paint. Go off. Do it. Paint. Great.
I want to make children's playgrounds.
Actually, we say that tongue-in-cheek, but brilliant example. Why not?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyhow, let's see. ActDeft is saying many people are speculating he's going to Riot to work on one of their projects. Well, that's a little bit fan-wanky, but we have seen Blizzard people go to Riot. I remember Ghostcrawler, the big community person, had gone to Riot, and there's been others too. So anything's possible, but I wouldn't put too much stock in those sorts of reports yet. Let's see. VG Realness saying probably gone to Dreamhaven like the rest who left. Or you have – was that the same studio that Chris Metzen is doing his D&D thing with? Because that one is interesting because it's not a video game. It's a very – you know, a D&D campaign type thing is a very story-heavy type of thing. But that's kind of like what Chris Metzen kind of did at Blizzard. He was very involved in the story of World of Warcraft. So it's – interesting, I think. Anyway, Questbuster in chat says 20 years is a lot of life investment in a company, and perhaps he's simply looking to do something new on his own. Take a break, bake a cake, whatever else it might be. A lot of veteran devs in the past few years have left AAA studios to either take sabbaticals or even found smaller teams to find the spark they missed in working with large ones. I think a really good parallel in that regard is Reggie Fils-Aimé. He probably didn't need to leave Nintendo. Like, you know what I mean? Like he was doing a great job there. People love him, but he just decided this is my time. I want to go be with the family and stuff. And maybe I'll take on a little advisory role that lasts for 9 months over here, or I'll do another little thing over here, you know, and that's what he wants to do. And he's earned it. I think it's a little tough for the Overwatch community because Jeff Kaplan is such the face for Overwatch, and so much so that he's participated in gags, you know, like the Yule log Christmas stuff, whatever that whole joke was. I think he sat in front of a fireplace for like 6 hours on a Twitch stream or whatever the hell he was doing. We don't know this new guy as much, you know, and there's always that, you know, I don't like new. I liked old. I already dislike new. We don't know what this new person is going to bring to the table. I'm sure we've seen him before at panels and, you know, other things, but he's just not so much the face. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that all works out. But I'm sure the guy will do fine. He's been with Blizzard a very long time as well. So let's see. Amethyst Rosewitch says, hell, 10 years is a lot. I know I'm reevaluating. I think they say something like it's kind of average to want to change that up every 10 years or so. I don't remember the exact number. Don't quote me on that. But I know people that change. It seems I know this one person I used to work with. I feel like she changes every year. But you know what? If you can do it and you're successful at it, why not? And you're happy, it ain't my place to tell you what to do. VG Realness says every 7 years is the average. Okay. I thought I remember reading something like that somewhere. And I think, don't they also say like in your life, you kind of go through big changes every 7 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. And here I am, by the way, sitting at 42, which is 7 times 6, by the way. And we're looking at finally buying a house after all these years, which is a pretty big change of sorts. And I'm sure there'll be other stuff as well. So anyway, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. All right. But the more things change, the more we appreciate the classics. And that's why we have this segment called the Classic Game of the Week, where every week Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this classic. Or actually what really happens in this segment sometimes, because I think that's what's going to happen to us tonight, is that sometimes it's like that meme that you've seen online. What you thought Final Fantasy was 20 years ago, where it shows the retro Final Fantasy, and then what Final Fantasy really was 20 years ago, and then you see the picture of Final Fantasy X on the PlayStation 2 with, you know, all its great graphics and everything. Because the criteria that Dark Sakura created, because, you know, she writes the rules, is that a game has to be 10 years old or more to be a classic game of the week. And this is definitely one of those games when I was, you know, because, you know, I'm special. I get to see what she picked in advance. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, this is 10 years old. Really? And I had a Final Fantasy.
I picked it just for that reason.
I had a Final Fantasy meme moment. It's a good one. But y'all get ready to feel old. I'm going to warn you. All right, Dark Sakura.
Know my pain.
What are you going to make the audience cry with tonight?
The classic game of the week came out in 2011, and it's called Limbo. Yes, Limbo. It is a very beautiful, stylized puzzle platform game that was developed by an independent studio called Playdead. It was released actually in July 2010 on Xbox Live Arcade, and has been ported around to other systems, including PS3, Linux, and Windows. It is a 2D side, huh?
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt, but you need to, I felt you could celebrate in some of the tears that you're causing in chat. You ready? We have, wow, I feel old. Wow, I'm so old. When we was a wee vlog show, good Lord, this is that old. Limbo is eligible? Fuck. there you go. There you go, Dark Sakura.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your cup of chat room tears.
Ah, refreshing. Here. Delightful.
And podcast listeners, we don't want you to be left out. Please send those tears to our Twitter account at OLR. Send them directly
I'll
to Dark Sakura.
Water my green onions.
All right.
And anyhow, so yes, the game is Limbo. And as I was saying, it's presented in black and white tones, kind of grayscale. And it uses lighting and film grain effects and very minimal ambient sounds to create this atmosphere of almost hopelessness, kind of scary. It's very dark. It's even been compared to old film noir and German expressionism, which I totally get that vibe out of it. It's also been touted as an example of video games as an art form. Very positive reviews. Minimalized story that kind of split people, but otherwise it's been just considered one of the greatest games of all time. It was also the third highest selling game on Xbox Live Arcade in 2010, and has won several industry awards. So to go forward into this, so basically you play a little boy and you have to navigate him through his dark, eerie world. Sorry, the cat was chatting about this in the background. So you have to solve these puzzles to kind of get through. So you have hazards like glowing worms that will attach themselves to your head and force you to travel in one direction until they're killed. You also have the mechanical puzzles where you deal with machinery, electromagnets, and gravity. You don't notice the traps, though, until they kill you. And so you restart from your last checkpoint, and you just can keep starting over as far as you go. It's basically a trial and death game. And you can die with dismemberment or beheading or some gore. You know, there's an optional gore filter if you don't want to see it. But yeah, there's carcasses and bear traps and all kinds of stuff. So basically, the story of this is that you're this boy who wakes up in a forest on the edge of hell. And you encounter a giant spider who tries to kill you. And then after you cut off the sharp points of his legs, then you continue through the story. And then, I'm not going to spoil the ending. Cat, get off of there. Cat.
You all right over there?
And then my cat was on my art table.
Well, your cat was also feeling old thanks to this selection. Just letting you know.
No, and it's my fault for leaving the door open. You are a bad girl. Out. Out. She's going to the closed door to leave. Like, great cat. Anyway, it was conceived as a game around 2004 with some concept art from of the designer is at IO Interactive. He had, as he said, a mood image of a secret place to get ideas. And he expanded upon it. He tried to make his own game in Visual Basic, but he needed a lot more assistance with it. So he made an art style trailer in 2006 and tried to recruit people. But he had just two people to start with. So that led to the creation of Playdead, and they attracted more people, and the game has gone on to be beautiful. The ESRB listed entries for it for PS3 and Windows, but it was a mistake on their part first. They didn't have any intention of bringing it out. But then eventually, you know, things happened. They actually didn't want to release on Windows because of software piracy, something they were very worried about. But then again, I guess once they've made their money, you know, Limbo.
It also
Limbo
opens
out on Steam.
Also, one thing we have to remember about PC games, and by the way, if you don't like spiders, avert your eyes for a little bit, because the next part of this game, for people who don't like spiders, is very rough visually. So I'm going to let it keep
playing.
I like
spooters.
But I'm going to warn you, if you don't like spiders, don't watch. Just avert your eyes for a little bit. I'll tell you when it's safe again. I got sidetracked. I'm sorry. I was going to say...
spiders.
No, before that.
PC.
Oh, yes, PC. Thank you. It opens things up to a much larger audience because the PS3 is only officially available in so many places in the world. And I think that's one thing we often forget with PC gaming is that by putting out a game on PC, you can get to a lot of countries where console gaming is not readily accessible.
Indeed.
If that makes sense, yeah.
So, but there are different versions of the game, of course. There is a macOS version through the Mac App Store. As I said, there's a macOS version. There is a Linux version that plays in a Wine environment, which is a sort of a Windows virtualization. There was a Vita version, but it doesn't use the touchpad. There's an iOS version. There's all kinds of versions out there. And it's just really, really just a good game. I really, really cannot stress enough about how beautiful the music, the minimalized music, audio, and the visuals are in this one. I mean, as you can see, but the audio was created by Martin Stig Anderson, who is a graduate of the Royal Academy of Music. And so his specialty being, acousmatic music, which is sort of non-traditional from created from generated sounds. They don't seem to have any particular source, is it came in and it blends in quite beautifully with this, background. But yeah, it got great receptions, very, very highly rated across the board. And, you know, it's just, it's really, I can't really say too much more good about it. It really is excellent.
And it's really that artistic style and the look of this game. And She-Hulk in chat says it's a great game and sound. Yeah, and I think that unique style, when this came out, we weren't seeing a lot of games that really looked like such a unique style like this. You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes this game very special, even though, like I just said, and I warned y'all, that scene that just played out with the spider, that's literally my worst nightmare coming to life. So anyway, I'm going to turn the game footage.
I don't think the spider is very scary.
Did you see? He picked the guy up and wrapped it. I think it's super. I mean, it's not violent or gory, at least. But that, no, I'm that is like literally one of my worst nightmares playing out.
Yeah, but he's free of the stuff now.
Yeah, he is now. Happy ending, I suppose. All right, except for that little piece.
I just love that scene, though, where like you see his eyes and he's lying on the ground staring at the camera like, what even is my life?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back.
That's me. I am that little boy right now.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Limbo. Yes, it's 10 years old, and you are 10 years older as a result. Congratulations. All right, great pick, Jamie. It really is. All right.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, when you do a bad pick, I'm just not going to tell you. No, I'm kidding.
I don't do anything bad.
Exactly. No such
me.
Thing. No, you have done bad picks, but you've said, I don't always pick a good one.
I do it on purpose.
Yeah. So they're not always good, but with
even the bad ones are still classics and you should know about them so that you avoid them. Like
they're
like,
classic in their own way. You know, show.
Some are just classically bad.
Showgirls is classic cinema. Pink Flamingos is classic cinema, but there are reasons for the hell. Rocky Horror Picture Show honestly is not that great of a movie, but the experience, the music, the Tim Curry, and all of this stuff adds up to like this, you gotta see it type of thing, right?
Honestly, it is a better stage play than it is a movie.
Yes. But oh, by the way,
and I have seen the stage play several times now.
Was it Rest in Peace, just passed away this week, that was involved with all the Meatloaf songs, and I believe played the character in Phantom of the Paradise, which is another huge is it Jim Steinman? Please don't. I know his face. He has a very distinctive look, but I don't remember the name. Somebody I'm waiting for chat to shout it out. Okay, see it to Tiberi thinks I'm
William
right.
Finley.
Jim Steinman. Was it?
No, William Finley was 2012. It was Jim Steinman.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Whew, I got that right. All right. Anyway, so yeah, rest in peace.
Phantom of the Paradise is fucking weird.
Oh, that movie. Jessica Harper is like one of those actresses where if you know her, it's like you're in this secret society of people who know who she is and why she's awesome. Like that whole thing. So anyway, I still need to this day, I still need to see Suspiria, which is like one of her all-time like biggest roles.
I actually have seen the remake of Suspiria.
Oh, okay.
And I have the original of Suspiria. If you want to come over and watch it with me, I really enjoyed the remake.
Oh my God, that'll be a fun Vax thing. Like, now that we're both Vax, we're going to watch movies together. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I want someone to watch Suspiria with me because the remake of it was really good. It had Tilda Swinton in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I really... Yeah, and I know that Jessica Harper was in the remake very briefly.
Yeah.
But
she writes children's books now, and so she's been kind of like, she even has her own podcast, or maybe a limited edition or whatever, but she wrote a book recently, and she was doing like tours, and she didn't do conventions for a long time, but she's one of those people who's really opened up over the years and does convention, or at least, you know, pre-COVID was starting to do more conventions and kind of open up about her past and all that stuff. Pretty approachable. Yeah. I kept trying to get them, like little inside baseball, but you know, they do that convention here in Sacramento, and I'm in the ear of the person who runs it. And I've been saying for years, get Jessica Harper, get Jessica Harper, get Jessica Harper.
Sure.
One of these years it'll work. So, all right. I mean, why not? They got Barry Boswick. They got Patricia Quinn. They've gotten a lot of good people, and I'm like, please get Jessica Harper. That's like, who's on your wish list, Rob? Jessica Harper. All right. Anyhow, this is not the Jessica Harper podcast, unfortunately. But and if you have no idea who we're talking about, you really should educate yourself. Like honestly, like join the secret society of fans. We're small and loyal. All right, let's move on to some rapid fire news where we talk about the video game industry, not the movie industry, really quick. Let's do it, Loki. Why don't you start us off?
All right. So this is pretty cool. So on the 10th birthday of Portal 2, yes, now it's eligible for Classic Game of the Week. There's been a fan release mod called Portal Reloaded, which adds a third color portal to the gun. It's a green one. It actually allows time travel. So that's even more of a mind bender now. So you can go check that out. Looks pretty cool. Always like these Portal fan games. Speaking of fan additions for games, Mother 3 has had a brand new English translation by the fans as well on its 15th anniversary. So that's also available if you're a fan of Mother 3.
Which is a game I really still need to play start to finish. I've played a little bit of that translation patch, but I can't believe that game is 15 years old and still nothing. And even Reggie Fils-Aimé is fucking joking about it now. Like, how dare you? Although, obviously, this was a decision above his head, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's the face of Nintendo, you know, in America to many of us, even still, with Doug Bowser there, I mean, even still, obviously, we know that Japan calls a lot of the shots for that stuff. So, one of these days. One of these days. All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
A couple of things. There are there's rumors that Sony and Konami are in discussions to do a new Castlevania game on the PlayStation 5. It came from a leaker called Catharsis T, just saying that they've been talking about it and that they also were having new projects related to Metal Gear Solid and Silent Hill in the works. But of course, rumor, speculation, we don't know. Apparently this person has been correct before, so
yeah, and we're getting a new Silent Hill too. Remember those rumors? So I don't know. I want to see the receipts. But I understand it's what gaming culture is talking about, so we do indulge the rumors sometimes. And I think we'd all love to see it. I think we'd all love to play a new Castlevania game. But in the meantime, we have Bloodstained. It's not bad at all.
Well, for those of us, though, who have already been enjoying Capcom Arcade Stadium on our Switches, well, the rest of you guys get it, too. So it will be available on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May 25th. And you can get 1943, The Battle of Midway, for free. You will also get some add-on packs. There is Dawn of the Arcade Pack, which is 1984 to 1988, Arcade Revolution, which is 1989 to 1992, and then Arcade Evolution, 1992 to 2001. So in that last pack, that's where we have 1944, The Loop Master, Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting Edition, Street Fighter II Turbo. That second pack is where we get Street Fighter II The World Warriors, Captain Commando, Strider, and Final Fight, which is honestly, that's the best pack to get, in my opinion.
Yeah, I bought them all. So I'm actually kind of irritated, too, because I would have probably bought it on a different system if I knew, but it's all right. Switch is a good
system.
I have
so many of these games, though, on like the Sega Saturn Capcom packs.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It's kind of fun to have them again. Giga Wing is certainly a good one, because unless you have a Dreamcast, I don't think. Did Giga Wing didn't really come out on anything else, did it?
I don't think it did. The stadium is good because it does have deep cuts. I'd call that like a deep cut, and they do have some really good deep cuts in there. And they do, you know, they do stuff that the technology wasn't there for with those earlier packs, like, you know, a little bit of the online competition, achievements, weekly things, you know, that you get more skins and cosmetics for doing. I think it's a well done pack, and I hope they expand on it with more games. Actually, I would love to see that if possible. I'd love to see things like Puzzle Fighter in there, but I don't know if they'd actually do it when they could probably release that as a standalone game. But you could say the same thing about Street Fighter, and that's still in there. Or Street Fighter 2, excuse me, but you know what I meant. So it'd be very interesting to see. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, things that we'll be playing a little sooner than Capcom Arcade on our PlayStation 4, although I guess not too much of a wait. It's only about a month. But what do we get to play next week, Loki?
We've got Death End Request on Nintendo Switch, Genshin Impact on PlayStation 5, To Hell With It on PC, R-Type Final 2.
R-Type! Yep. R-Type!
That's on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Total War Rome Remastered on PC, Mac, and Linux. This is exciting. New Pokemon Snap on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, that's right. That's this week. Yay.
Yeah. Returnal on PlayStation 5.
Ooh, I wanted to see that. I hope my friends stream that.
Also, apparently R-Type Final 2 is coming out again on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PC. I don't know why it's coming out twice in the week, but whatever.
Special edition?
Maybe. I don't know. There's a footnote, and I don't want to read it. let's see. Okay.
Nobody does.
I got it. So it's coming out slightly earlier in the week for Japan. North America is getting it later in the week. Whatever. Terminator Resistance Enhanced on PlayStation 5. And that's it.
I need to recruit Shane for a Pokemon Snap stream of sort, because didn't he say he's never played the original? Like, I thought that was a thing that came up.
Played the original?
I don't remember
him being the Pokemon fan.
If you're listening, Shane, will you correct me or whatever? But I'm almost positive that was a thing. Like, he still hasn't played those games, and so we really need a reaction stream from him. All right, anyway, moving on. Let's go to Japan and check out the releases over there. We have some similar stuff. We have, like, the R-Type Final 2 is out there as well. Let's see. That is on the Switch. There's also some themed controllers and some peripherals and things like that coming out this week as well. And, of course, new Pokemon Snap is also getting its release in Japan. I mean, that would be pretty rude if they didn't put that out in Japan at the same time. There's lots of Sanrio-related, like, Nintendo Switch peripherals and things of that sort as well. So it's a pretty big week for that type of stuff. I think that's about it for the Switch. Let me look at PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. Oh, Returnal has a Japanese release this week on PlayStation 5 as well, so they're getting it about the same time. That's cool, because I think that was developed over here, and so Japan sometimes has to wait for those that are developed over here, but not that one. And then looking at PlayStation 4, you have Star Renegades and R-Type Final 2 also getting their releases in Japan this week. So there you go. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
A few things. On the 29th, we have World War One Verdun and Tannenberg. But that's the Western Front and Eastern Front, both coming out on PS5. Also, Taxi Chaos for PS5 and Switch. On the 30th, we have Terminator Resistance Enhanced on PS5. Pokemon Snap on a Switch. Battle Axe on PlayStation and Switch. And Returnal on PlayStation.
All right. Let us get to some more news stories. And then, of course, we'll take your questions and comments in our chat room over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork as we get a little closer to the end of the show. Okay, Shane is saying I'm correct. He has never played Pokemon Snap. So I'm gonna work on this and see what I can do. In the meantime, Loki, why don't you get to our next story?
Yeah, so we had a rumor a few weeks ago talking about Microsoft possibly looking to buy Discord. Well, that's not going to happen. So apparently all the talks are now off the table, and it's possible that it could be rekindled in the future, but not yet. So we can all take a nice, relaxing sigh that nightmare isn't going to happen.
All right. Yeah, that's good.
At least for now.
That's good. I don't think a lot of us really wanted to see that happen. I mean, some of us are probably reading into, like, oh, there are some good things that could come out of that. But I think most of us wanted Discord to stay independent. And it looks like that is – so it looks like all – it's not just Microsoft, but, like, all the suitors are off the table, right? If I read that right. And it's just Discord is going to go the independent route. And I think that's the direction most of us wanted to see them take.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's good news. Yay. All right. Let's move on. Okay, this story is interesting. This is, again, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not the same as it was 10 years ago. And I'm talking about the Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle, the company, which is now an IGN company and has been for several years, by the way. Humble Bundle announced that in May, there are no longer going to be sliders when you buy a bundle. I think most of you have probably bought a Humble Bundle at some point, but let me remind you, In the early days of Humble Bundle, they used to do these big indie bundles, right? Where it would be like, I don't know what, 7, 8, 9 games that they would give away for like a pay what you want. And then they'd throw in an extra game or three if you'd paid like a minimum or if you paid like above the average. You know, the little benchmarks would get you a couple more games. And these were widely popular because you'd have a slider at the bottom where you could give all this money to the charity that they were supporting at the time. If it's like Doctors Without Borders or whoever it is they're supporting at the moment. Or you could give like maybe 50%. To the developers of the games and 50% to charity. And then there was a place where you could leave a humble tip as well because, you know, bandwidth isn't free and putting the site together and all that. So you could leave them a little bit of a tip. But there were a lot of people that would do those bundles and just give 100% of the money to charity. You know, and that's kind of what it was for. You know, you didn't really get a lot of new games in there. You got a lot of indie stuff. But I would say Humble Bundle was really where this started, this whole concept of pay $5 and get 10 awesome games, right? And was really probably one of the biggest things we can blame for our fucking backlogs, right? Is Humble Bundle? Am I right, Loki? Is Humble Bundle the source of a lot of your backlog?
Yeah. I already increased my backlog just today.
Oh, boy.
The VR one.
Okay. Things are going to be changing now because they're no longer going to have those sliders. What's going to happen is that you're going to be able to choose preset options that decide how the money is divvied up, but the charity portion is capped at 15%, meaning the best options for charity donations is 15%. Whereas in the past, a lot of us were giving 100% to charity, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because that was the whole point of Humble Bundle. But unfortunately, when we had that news, 4 or 5 years ago at this point, that IGN bought them, well, we all know Humble Bundle's kind of been, they've been a little bit different ever since, right? They're more of a storefront. They, you know, they do these different, they try to sell their Humble subscription and all of this. You know, when was the last time that they did an indie bundle that really caught fire the way the old ones did?
Well, that's the thing with the subscription, though. Like, it's not even really a subscription per se, because you don't get automatically charged each month. And it's basically just, it's basically a bundle because you buy, you pay the amount and you get like 12 games. So it's kind of weird. You know what they are ahead of time. It's not like, oh, I'm going to repay this and have it recur every month and then we'll be surprised with what we get. It's like, because there's been months that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to skip it. But I do it and it's a pretty good deal. But
okay,
it's hardly a subscription anymore.
Now, Humble Bundle said in their post announcing what's happening here, why they're removing the sliders, they want to unify their various services, saying, since we launched bundles a decade ago, sliders have not changed, even as Humble evolved, by building products like Humble Choice and the Humble Store that all support charity without sliders. That's a weird flex to me. Yeah. Like,
I think it's more that they need to keep the company running.
They need to keep the lights on. It's what it boils down to. But of course, a lot of people are making jokes about how, well, they're not so humble anymore, are they? Or what was the great one-liner that I just saw in chat? Ice P in chat says, might be taking a bit of a humble tumble. That's funny. I like the humble tumble's funny.
Womp, womp.
So I think there's a lot of us that are taking issue with the fact that they're calling themselves the Humble Bundle when the charity now seems to be taking a back seat to the other stuff. And like, on one hand, I get it. Like, maybe this is how they're going to be able to attract more developers, is by basically guaranteeing that developers are going to get a certain minimum and all this. But it certainly does feel like, okay, then isn't the Humble Bundle now just a Steam key reseller at this point? Isn't that just what they do? And not just Steam Key, because they do Nintendo stuff too. They have like 3DS that was on there for a little bit as well, and they still do. I still see ads for it where they're using like Mario Brothers 3 in the ad, but that is something that you can buy on the store and redeem on like the 3DS shop and stuff. But essentially, they're just a key seller front where a small part goes to charity. Do we care that, I mean, would a 15% charity donation change your mind and make you want to shop at Humble Bundle still? Loki, it sounds like with you, you said you are on their subscription thing.
Yeah, right. I do that. And I don't really change the sliders at all. I don't like give more to the charity. I just, whatever the default is. I don't know.
SSGO and Hunter Matt says, I believe Humble was given the edict from Ziff Davis, the parent company, to change the business model or they'll close it down. I'm sure Ziff is suffering from the pandemic and looking at their fiscal stuff. I'm sure Humble is not really profitable and they push them to change this. Either they cap it or Humble goes away. Sad truth. And Tiger Claw follows that up with, it's more like a Humble stumble. Stop.
Oh, you.
Jamie, what are your thoughts with the whole, like, you know, is a 15% charity donation enough to get you to pay attention still to the store? Or is it, it's just kind of whatever at this point?
Or, I'm kind of whatever.
You're all in on Stadia now anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like, my heart has been taken by the Stadia.
All right.
Well, at least my gaming experience has been taken by the Stadia.
All right. All right. Let's move on and talk about our next story, which is something I was not aware of, even though I've been interested in this game because everybody tells me I need to play the other game. Anyway, Jamie, please take it away.
So there is definitely some drama going on with Nier Replicant, which is the newest game in the Nier series. And this is going to be a little bit spoilery, so I'm going to go ahead and give the warning out there.
And it's a reimagining of the first game is important to put out, the Japanese version of the first game. It's not like a new thing in the story. It's a reimagining.
I never played any of them. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with this game, then, since it's not a spoiler, they have put in two achievements that could definitely be seen as sexist, but absolutely as transphobic as well. One of the characters in the game, and I'm going to mispronounce, I think it's Kaine, is intersex, meaning has both general sets of genitalia. So there is an achievement called Daredevil. You risk life and limb 10 times to discover someone's secret, which is basically an upskirt cam. You look up Kaine's skirt 10 times. There was, and it was the same thing as in Nier Automata called What Are You Doing? Where you look up 2B's skirt. It's the upskirt thing. It's just encouraging bad behavior. But in this case, since it's dealing with an intersex character, it really is just disgusting, very bad taste at the bare minimum.
It comes off like, I don't know if the intent was there to be transphobic, although that doesn't certainly matter at the end of the day. This whole thing just comes like, it just comes off as immature. Like, it's just immature. Like, and I thought as gamers and wanting to be accepted as an art form, which those Nier games are very artistic. And that's the reason why I think this is so frustrating, is that you don't want to see the game get canceled all over all this or whatever, because especially with Nier Automata, there's a lot of beauty and brilliance in the story. To just see something so immature be a big blemish on it is just frustrating.
This isn't immaturity specifically. This is sexist immaturity.
I'll give you that. Absolutely.
No, the sexism is definitely there.
Yeah, for sure.
And so there's already some major complaints about it, but we cannot overlook the general sexism of everything.
Yeah.
You know, by putting a blanket immaturity statement on it, it removes what this really is.
Yeah. And you got some folks in chat that are echoing this a little bit, saying SGO and Hunter Matt says poor taste. ActDev says, yeah, immature. It's bad nonetheless. Bob Coffey says, even if the intent is to reference Automata's achievement, it's pretty tasteless.
It shouldn't have been an Automata in the first place.
I would also agree with that. Amethyst Rose Witch says immature is an understatement. And I will grant, I mean, even though that's the first word that comes to my mind, I think Dark Sakura makes a very clear statement, and I agree with her that, you know, it's immaturity that has very much sexism playing into it, because we upskirt on dudes is not a thing. Where's that achievement? That's not, you know, that's not a thing.
If they're not, well, cause
where's that anime?
Also, there's no, I haven't seen too many dudes in kilts.
Yeah.
In games.
So anyway, and then but now you have this additional kind of like thing where actually it's pretty cool that there's an intersex character in a game, because there are intersex people in this world, quite a few of them. And I'm sure that representation is awesome. You know, so in that regard, you go, Nier is doing an awesome thing by having an intersex character be, and then it's like, and they do this really stupid thing with it. and it sucks. So that's where we're left with, right?
It's just, this is the kind of thing we really shouldn't be encouraging.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they should probably just take that achievement out and replace it with something that has to do with the game.
And it's not like she's wearing much of anything. She's basically wandering around in, you know, negligee.
Yeah. But I do understand where folks are very upset. And I want to make sure this is clear, too, especially when I'm using the word like immature. I want to make clear, I do understand where folks are very upset about this focus on genitalia, right? Because unfortunately, in our culture, you know, my brain goes to that Katie Couric interview when she's interviewing what Laverne Cox and Carmen Carrera, I think that's her name, right? That was on Drag Race all those years ago and then transitioned, right? And Katie Couric, who you'd think is this like respectable journalist, wants to talk about genitalia. And it's like that. Why do we as a society have a fascination with that? That is a much deeper question than I expect us to tackle on this show. But my point is that like that's just like why this is so like if you're having an difficulty understanding, why does this get to the level of transphobic? Because it makes it seem like gender is only genitalia and it's not that. Would you agree with what I said, Jamie, or you want to course correct me a little bit?
Gender is not genitalia. Exactly. You know, your genitalia is basically what variety of reproduction you can and cannot do.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yep.
And some people, I have several friends who are intersex. One who actually does have fairly working parts of anatomy, and I'm not going to name names or anything, and I only know this because I'm a good friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely something that these are mostly children, by the way, who are having sex change performed on them or an assignment physically inflicted on them in the hospital. Gender is personal. It's not a preference. Stop using preferred pronouns and just call them pronouns. Gender is a part of who you are and how you identify. And so it's nobody's business what genitalia that you have, and parents should stop announcing it to the world. They say, oh, look, well, I have a little human.
And God's
Are you saying that we shouldn't create earthquakes with giant explosions?
God's been dropping hints to knock it off. God's been dropping a lot of hints to knock it off.
Well, and I'll actually even say in Judaism, there's seven genders.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Although there should be one for female bodies in my position, but I won't go on that.
So anyway, a whole other podcast going on here. Yeah. And honestly, if this is of interest to you and you don't have to consider yourself intersex, transgender, whatever, to be interested in these topics, that's education, listening to folks, right? So if you want to listen on this stuff, there's lots of podcasts out there. But just to shift the conversation back a little bit to this, I think it's just very frustrating to see like, oh, this company did a great thing in the story and then they shot it in the foot with this, you know, dumb thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I know what their goal was.
Two steps forward, two steps back, right?
I know their goal was to harken back to the other achievement, but like I said, the other achievement shouldn't have existed either.
Yeah. No, right. Absolutely right. It was, and it may be in the instance of Nier Automata, it's definitely, you know, that sexist immaturity thing. I'm sorry, I forgot the exact phrase you used, but it's definitely that. And it's just kind of one of those, again, if gaming culture wants to be seen as grown-ups, then we kind of have to act grown up. That's what it boils down to. If you're sitting there going, but my anime titties, it's like,
you have problems with yourself.
Like, there's a whole other art form for you that needs to stay out of video games. Honestly,
and I need to correct myself. It's actually six genders.
Okay.
In Judaism.
Thank you. All right, let's. Let's try to cleanse the palate a little bit because there's some interesting similarities in this next story, and I'll just turn it over to Loki.
Yeah, this is kind of surprising. So Gearbox exec David Najib had testified against the Texas House Bill 4042, which would force transgender athletes in public schools to compete in the sports according to the gender they were assigned at birth. He basically said, I'm a Texan. I was born here, and I know it's a welcoming, friendly place. I want to push that and not making up laws we don't need. You know, our games company in competition or in competition worldwide, we sell more to Asia than we do in the United States. We bring in a lot of money into the state. We're headquartered here. We don't drive us to where we have to start expanding outside of Texas and outside of the country. We want to keep doing business here. Basically threatening that, you know, if something like this passes, that they might consider taking their business elsewhere. It's kind of sickening that, you know, we see this kind of stuff happening right now, and it's not just in Texas either. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Thank you for being our token heterosexual saying that, by the way, because we need more people like you to recognize that this is wrong. You know?
It's ridiculous. Of all the things in the world right now, why are we worried about like childhood sports? Who cares?
Yeah, you know, you're preaching to the choir with me and dark soccer and all that. But it's very nice to hear you say that. And it's nice to hear Gearbox say that, which is a company that has, again, it's interesting because now we have a two steps back, two steps forward situation. You know, Gearbox is
if it's in Constellation, it's not Randy Pitchford that said that. So, you know,
maybe
Randy Pitchford's still terrible.
A sign of change in the guard at Gearbox, perhaps. I don't know. But it is refreshing to see them really take a stand with that, you know, saying, you know, we're a Texas company. We do this. This law is not what we're about. And it's been nice that in some other states there have been some surprising people that you would expect might support this. Right. Because it was vetoed in one state. Unfortunately, this is happening far too often frequently, or I can't remember what states are doing what. But it's been vetoed by like two different governors in two different states, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah, and actually, you know, to give Randy some props, at least, he did echo the sentiment that was put forward by the other guy, saying, you know, the kinds of people that are best in the world at creating technology, at creating entertainment, these are people that do not want to live in places that are seen as discriminatory. So at least he did kind of echo that sentiment as well. But still, you know, he's got his own problems.
Going to chat, Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm in Georgia, so I can help give Texas some pointers on companies leaving their state. And yeah, that's, you know, another place where companies have been voting with their wallets, so to speak. So, yeah.
Well, you have to vote with your wallet because they're going to make it impossible to do it otherwise.
My laugh is a laugh of shock at the accuracy of that statement. Like, drag them, expose them, Loki. Yes. All right. Oof. SSJ 100 Matt in chat says, as someone who works in sports, this is such a vindictive, nasty thing to do. It's just unnecessary. Yes. Again, we could have a whole another podcast on this topic, but I'm very thankful to hear that a lot of people, you know, no matter we've got a variety of backgrounds here, a variety of, you know, life steps, a variety of political leanings. And I think most people are pretty much in agreement on this. And maybe the folks that aren't are being a little more quiet and listening to the reasons why we're saying it's such a bad thing. And that's a good thing, too. Hopefully maybe change a few minds here as to why this is just it's gross thing to do. So anyhow. Pixel Paca says the anti-trans bills occurring in a handful of states are so utterly fucked up and hurting people who cannot defend themselves, children, and follows that up with, think of the children. Oh, no, we don't mean all children. So very well said there by Pixel Paca's. I'll leave it on that note. Although thanks to Gearbox for sticking up for that. And I think doing a good thing for the gaming industry. We kind of talked about making the game industry sound like grownups. I think that was a very grown-up thing for them to do. So, awesome. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about something a little silly, but in the best possible way. And I think a good last story tonight to end on. And that has to do with this up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A, start, select, start. They all have different endings to them. But I'm sure you all recognize that as the infamous Konami code, right? Well, did you know the Konami code is now 35 years old. Hello, old and aging. Guess what? That's you. And I believe that code was first in the game. Gradius was where that code showed up for the first time. And then, of course, I think a lot of people know it from Contra, though, certainly. But all of those, of course, the early Konami games where that sequence would unlock certain things or what have you. Now, Konami, in celebration of the 35th anniversary, yes, Konami did something. It's very exciting. They've teamed up with some musicians to do some remixes from Gradius in what they're calling a lo-fi hip-hop compilation. So it's remixes of... What's that?
I said, that sounds nice.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. A remix of the... I would play it here, but that gets into weird copyright things, and so I just would encourage you to seek this out on your own. It's a remix of the theme by Tokyo Machine is included on that as well. There's also some merchandise, of course, because, you know, Konami's getting into that right now, selling the merchandise like Gradius T-shirts and logos from Gradius titles and so forth. The video, if you want to check that out, is on YouTube. So check Konami's YouTube channel. And there is a accompanying illustration and motion graphic to mimic what's going on there. And there's 6 tracks in the list. And you can check that out over on Konami's YouTube channel. So a fun way to kind of celebrate something that a lot of us as gamers just have ingrained into our brains. That up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember the championship code from the Capcom code?
Words.
No.
Down, right, up, left, Y, B, if I remember right. Is how you unlock championship mode. If somebody can fact check me on that, see if my memory still works after all these years. But I say down, right, as in the button. Down, right, up, left, Y, B, I believe is it. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat giving us the infamous IDDQD. And those codes?
Yes. IDBFG.
Mm-hmm. I was right. Dr. Tetsuya says I'm right. Yeah, down, right, up, left, YB, or it's XA if the Japanese version. Okay, fair enough. Orange Right says ABACABB. That's the blood code, right, for Mortal Kombat, if I remember right?
There's ABBA in Ikari Warriors.
That's right. ABBA, my favorite code in any game. Good. All right. Anyway. Excellent. So a good reminiscent on the codes and all that good stuff.
Need to do the one in Dead by Daylight to get the Vic Viper.
That would not work for the life of me on the Xbox One, but I need to try it now that I have it on Steam.
It doesn't work on console.
There's people that have YouTubes of it where they're doing it on
console. It stopped working after July 2020.
Why did they turn it off?
They did. Hold on. I've actually got the thing right in front of me to tell you.
Rude asses. But it still works on PC?
Still works on PC. They ended this. I've got the article here.
No wonder it didn't work. And I'm looking at these YouTubes where I'm like, the guy's doing it slower than I. God.
June 16th, 2020, it ended on the console versions.
Oh, that's irritating. All right. Well, thank you for letting me know. I can stop. There's another reason to buy it on Steam so I can have my Vic Viper. All right.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we would go to the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email. But I believe that is an empty mailbag this week, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you know what that means. Drag Race Talk. Season 13 finally ended. I didn't watch it, but of course...
I didn't watch it yet.
Twitter filled me in on it. All right, then I won't ruin it for
you. I don't know
you.
Who won.
All right, don't spoil, please, because Dark Soccer
doesn't
know
who won. But I'm going to spoil for myself right now.
Oh. All right.
Just tell me.
We get Dark Soccer's reaction live. I want to be very careful not to spoil it for anyone out there, although I guess it's been 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. It was the second person I would have wanted.
Yeah. I would say it was I did watch the beginning of the season. I would say it was extremely obvious to me that person was going to win from like episode 3. So yeah. I don't know why everyone. I get that one of the other contestants was really showing a lot and I think had a lot of people rooting for them throughout the season. But I think it was obvious from the third episode.
I love this dress.
Yeah.
I'll have to link you the picture that I saw.
I already know what it is. Is it the one that looks like the Final Fantasy boss? Meets Pinhead?
Gold?
All right. All right. Send it to me.
The white dress?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. Hopefully All Star 6 starts soon. That one's going to be on Paramount Plus. What do you think about that? Drag Race taking one of its biggest spinoffs to another service. It's kind of interesting. I know.
I wish they'd just stay somewhere.
All right. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm trying to talk Shane into the Pokemon stream, and I think he's into it. He's like, "Is this another point reward thing?" And I'm gonna be like, "No, just because." But he says, "I don't see why this wouldn't be doable." So I think we're on to something there. So we may have a special stream here at VOG just because. Not everything has to be a point reward thing, right, Bobby? I gotta get clearance from Bobby. Not everything has to be a point reward thing, right, Bobby? All right. I'm almost positive he'll be with me on the same. He's like, content, great, do it. All right. okay, thank you. Bobby says not everything has to be a point reward. Great, excellent. All right. Let's get into some last-minute stories then. Loki.
All right, so it's happened. It's happened. We're finally getting Lego Green Mario, and I'm very excited.
I forgot to slot that story. Thank you.
It's coming out. It's coming out in August.
In my head, that was in the first half of the show, Loki.
It's all right. It's all good. Yeah. So, brand new starter set coming with Boom Boom and a pink Yoshi. So we'll have to pick that up. But that's coming out August 1st, which is actually a year after the original Lego Mario set did. So looking forward to that and what other sets are coming, because obviously now that they have a new starter set, they're going to have some more stuff coming. So very interesting. And then
Pixel Pacas in chat says, what else happened on the show in Rob's head? We had the listenership we had in 2006. I'm teasing. I love you guys that show up every week. I really do. All right. Sorry, Loki.
Yeah, so there was that, and then apparently some rumors that Sony is blocking Resident Evil 8 from Games Pass because of forced parody.
Marketing. I did see some of the rumors about that and that whole the contract page that leaked and all that stuff. Yeah. Honestly, though, should that surprise anyone? Like,
no.
People are acting like it's this big ass deal, but like, if Sony is going to spend the free promotion, when they put a Resident Evil trailer in their PlayStation showcase and all this stuff, they're basically giving them free advertising, you know, and there's, you know, certain concessions. So yes, they're going to be like, hey, you can't go and then give away this game on Game Pass, you know, when it's, we're trying to sell copies on PlayStation by having these ads here. I'm not sure why this is shocking to some people. I think it's just shocking to see it in writing, and people feel like they're in a secret club getting to read these leaked contracts and stuff. And I get that. Like, it's like, ooh, I'm seeing something I'm not supposed to see, and it's a little bit scandalous, you know, but I don't think it's this should not be surprising whatsoever. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, yeah, I don't begrudge Sony for this. They're doing a lot of marketing and free demos and stuff. Absolutely. I don't like this shouldn't be a surprise. Like, be happy you got MLB The Show. And I say this as somebody, and you guys know, I've been very pro Xbox the last couple of years on this show, okay? So, like, but I'm going to say to the Microsoft folks on this one, just back off, okay? Like, this one makes sense. Okay, Loki.
There was something else I saw, too, about them renewing their trademark for PlayStation Home. So was
right.
is that a thing happening?
That is another rumor. Well, we don't know. Rumor
why would you
status.
Renew it since it's not? Yeah. Curious.
I don't know. I don't know if we should jump to the conclusion it's happening. It would be a very nice summertime announcement. But I'm sure there's a lot of people going, ooh, PlayStation Home makes a lot of sense for VR. Which I could definitely see it going that way, a VR chat type of thing, I guess. But I honestly would like to see PlayStation Home. I know we gave PlayStation Home a lot of shit, but we had very ardent fans of PlayStation Home really open our eyes to the capability of what it could do over the years. And I think the most frustrating part was that, like, you really saw the limits of what they were able to do in PlayStation Home. Like, oh man, it would have been awesome if like our clubhouse could have played a YouTube or a trailer or have maybe custom items that we did. Whatever happened to the trophies for achievements and stuff that you could actually put on your wall? Like there were a lot of potential things that Home never realized. And then it did other things that were kind of neat, like the fake E3 booth, the virtual E3 booth. That was kind of cool. So I would hope that maybe the technology of the PlayStation 5 can really let them advance those capabilities of PlayStation Home, but they need to be able to advance those capabilities of PlayStation Home for me to care. If they're just doing the same thing they did on the PlayStation 3, then it's going to be flop city. I don't think I'm trying to believe that wouldn't be the case, that with an upgrade to PlayStation 5 comes more than better graphics and better stuff, that Sony really is looking at how do we make a social thing to respond to Twitch, to respond to, you know, and then when they go and get rid of communities, that really sends a mixed signal. Not that communities was really used at all. I like to think Sony did that in preparation for this, but am I giving them too much credit? I'm worried I am. Anyway, thank you for bringing that up. I forgot about that one, and that one's important.
Yeah, no problem.
Hi, Midna. I see Kitty on cam. There we go. All right. Anything else?
Mama has some string cheese.
Nope, that's it.
All right. Then I think we're about ready to wrap up. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Thank you so much for participating with our show. If you enjoyed what you heard here on OLR, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, what can we do? A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast will go a very long way. Spotify, we're on there too. So thank you very much to everybody that does that. An auto host here at Twitch TV also does wonders. So thank you to those of you that go and do that as well. If you feel so inclined, you can also support our store over at vognetwork.com/shop. If you want to be able to shop for some merchandise there, like an OLR sticker or things like that. Thank you. Again, a lot of you were very generous tonight during the show here live on Twitch. A lot of you are very generous in the things you say throughout the week online on Twitter and all that stuff. So thank you very much for everybody that takes time out to say hello and they appreciate what we're doing here. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. It was funny. There was actually somebody I was having a disagreement with on Twitter. We were having a spirited disagreement, not a F U, you F and F and things like that. It was, you know, oh, we disagree on this. Here's my perspective. Here's my perspective. But I thought it was very nice that he ended it with, hey, I'm a big fan of OLR. And I was like, that does mean a lot. Even if we don't agree on this one particular issue, it still means a lot that people are so inclined to engage and interact with the show and the people behind it after all these years, coming up on 19 years in June. All right, I think we should get final thoughts, shouldn't we? I will start with Dark Sakura.
Please stay tuned. Please stay tuned. Please, please, please. I need the attention.
All right. At least you're honest. All right.
My channel, I want to do more things for everybody, and the only way I can do them is if people join in.
My final thought is, please cross your fingers and toes. We put our first bid in on a house today, and I'm not thinking we're gonna get it, but this house is perfect. It has an upstairs loft area that would be perfect for this show if we wanted to continue to do it in person. So and it's much closer to you, Dark Sakura, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, Loki, last but not least, your final thought.
So during the show I ordered labels for my cartridges, so hopefully they turn out.
All right, getting closer. Appreciate that. Yep. All right. I can't wait to own a physical copy. All right. That's it, everybody. We'll be back to do it in 7 days. Thank you for tuning into our show this week. And we'll see you next week when, oh my gosh, it's actually going to be May, isn't it? Please leave your Justin Timberlake memes out of this. That is overdone. but that's it. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.